about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
What's the one thing that never gets old? Listen how the story unfolds.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I don't care how sick you are. I don't care if you just came back from the doctor and he gave you the worst possible prognosis, meaning it's over. You won't be around in 2 weeks. Doesn't matter. Hang out till November 8th. Get out and vote. And then all we're going to say is we love you and we will remember you always.
Why not, Bean? This is America!
USA! You see that? You see how white people do?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hail Satan, I submit to the dark side.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over.
Into this job a little, huh?
Roll another one.
Yeah, good boy.
Just like the other one.
Holy Jesus, is this man
this
annoying.
This seems to be about to quit.
There it is.
Another
year. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's go.
It's our time to shine.
Let's go.
Shut the front door.
Roll another one.
Damn you, Sharktopus.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to end.
I've had it. I've had it with stocking.
I don't have another sin.
You know what? I'm not going to lie. This is the first time I've seen you, heard of you.
Is this your idea of getting jiggy with it?
Just pass it around.
I cannot believe this stuff is on the radio.
Nevada. Just pass it on down.
And now.
What I love to think about this is it's a puzzle. And each of every one of us is an integral piece that puts a big picture. And once we're all together, it puts a big picture. And so it lets us to see the big picture. Yeah.
Our feature presentation.
I agree with her.
I do too.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday. It's the 7th of October.
That felt good.
Classic rock still going with that, Bean? So with the Rocktober?
I think they are. I think they're still. I think they're still doing Rocktober right into September, okay. right after September. I'm hearing a lot. I'm still hearing a lot of Two for Tuesday.
Okay,
Hearing a lot of that.
Good.
Yeah, I think the classics. Rocktober.
Rocktober's alive and well.
It is.
Good to hear.
We've heard from some longtime Kevin and Bean fans recently who are disappointed that Melfon is no longer there to bring in Rocktober like it used to be, but. I just would like to remind everybody that Chip breaks up all bands
How
that she's in.
How dare you?
And
you don't have
reason.
To get along with Chip. That's what I'm saying.
That's right.
Exactly.
So. Yeah, it would be great. It would be great if Melfon were back together.
Right.
It would be great if Oasis were back together. But sometimes
I'd like it as well, but no.
Personalities in the band sometimes, some people,
Correct.
Some tiny little people playing bass make it impossible for a group to get along.
That everyone else hates.
That's right.
Right.
I don't know. That seems a little strong, but I'm just saying.
Oh, that seems strong.
It is a little bit strong. Anyway, so we're having to do the recorded Rocktober for now because there is no more Melfon. Hey, we do have an excellent Friday Kevin and Bean Show planned for you here, but let me get started with this. You know, there's been a lot of news lately. Kevin, I'd be interested in your thoughts on this. There's laws in California that are suggested all the time and other states around the union to outlaw people from renting out their homes as Airbnb. A lot of neighbors complain, hey, you know what? I like to know who's living next to me. I don't want a succession of different people every weekend living in your house because you're trying to make extra money. What do you think about that?
Huh. I think if it's legal and it's zoned that way, there's nothing you could do about it.
Well, that's what people are suggesting, is it shouldn't be legal. People are saying, hey, I don't want that to be happening. Let's keep neighbors in neighborhoods and things.
I don't know. I mean,
would you have a problem if the people who live next door to you Airbnb'd and every week there was somebody different living there?
I mean, it's easy to say no, but if they're super annoying, then of course that would be, make it a lot harder. But I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, are they hot?
Well, I don't have a specific person in mind that we're trying to deny
I'm just trying to figure out how I would judge it.
But a great Airbnb story in the news today that I think everyone will appreciate, no matter what side of that issue you're coming down on, and that is a Taco Bell staycation. A Taco Bell staycation. Taco Bell is offering up this deal right now where you sign up and somebody will win a Taco Bell Canada Airbnb overnight stay. So you will actually – they've taken out like all the chairs and everything in the middle, and they put down carpets and bunk beds and big screen TV and video games, and you're going to get to stay in a Taco Bell location overnight. You and three friends can celebrate the launch of the new Steak Double Dilla by spending the night at Taco Bell, playing games, watching TV, and, of course, eating plenty of Taco Bell food. Now, tell me this isn't perfect for you and Beer Mug and other people who love Taco Bell.
I mean, I love Taco Bell. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that I need to spend the night there. That seems a little pathetic.
But you have a Taco Bell butler who will make for you and bring for you all the Taco Bell you want all night long.
Right.
While you're there on your bunk bed playing video games and watching a big screen TV.
Right. You're so excited about this.
I just think it sounds like fun. Comfy chairs, big screen TV, bunk beds. You get to dine on steak double dillas with twice the tender marinated steak and creamy jalapeno sauce and a cheesy quesadilla. Video games, movies, lots of other stuff to keep you entertained. And our Taco Bell butler will be there to make sure you've got everything you need. And you can sign up at Taco Bell. There are some house rules, though, you'll be interested to know.
All right.
If sharing salsa, no double dipping your chips. Well, that's just hygienic, I think.
Right, sure.
Eating steak double dillas in bed is not only allowed, it is encouraged. Make that squeaking sound with your straw and cup lid is annoying. Quit it.
What is happening? How can they have this many rules?
One of the house rules. Don't feed the Taco Bell butler. Well, that's not very nice, they say. We'll leave that up to you. And the most important house rule is live moss. And I think that's important for everybody.
Right.
And then there are other things that have to do with the lawyers of it. But you and three friends spending the night in a Taco Bell.
I don't feel like that would be fun.
Really?
No.
I'm stunned.
I'd like to break into a Taco Bell and spend the night. That would be great. But if they set it up for you, then what's the fun in that?
Okay.
Right?
All right. Well, maybe if some of our listeners are interested, you can check out the Taco Bell website if you want to sign up for that. I think it sounds like you do have to check out by 8 a.m., though, and I assume that's because the store has to open in the morning.
And they have to clean the entire place and burn it down?
It doesn't say that, but please enjoy it.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Beach Show, shall we?
How can so much and so little be happening in that head of yours?
Matt Moneysmith will join us today talking baseball playoffs, Dodgers Nationals.
Yeah, very exciting. By the way, Kevin.
Yeah.
We talked to Rome yesterday about the 2-1 game play-in games to get into the playoffs. And then yesterday was unbelievable, another unbelievable baseball game with the Red Sox.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you got hockey going on.
Why do you do this every year?
You got basketball. I know last night was football.
Right.
But I'm telling you, you're missing out on a great sport with some fantastic action.
Okay, first of all, not a great sport.
Great sport.
Second of all, just a momentary, just a blip of action in between sleeping for an hour and a half. That's my problem.
I don't think that's accurate.
Well, I'm saying no.
You're happy to get all the baseball you need just on SportsCenter.
I don't even like that.
You fast forward through the highlight reel?
That's the worst part of when basketball's not here and hockey is not going on. That's SportsCenter is all highlights of baseball.
Well, I'm telling you, all of them are going on right now. And
you're
still missing out if you're not following fantastic playoffs.
I am okay to miss out on that.
All right.
We have the movie beat because it's Friday. Mm-hmm. We have a brand new internet roundup. Speaking of sports, we're going to talk to RJ Bell. NFL Week 5. He's got his picks for us today from Las Vegas. And comedian Whitney Cummings. In studio. Very excited about that as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Alternative first.
5:54 sounds like it's time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat with our friend Ralph Garman.
Before we get into show business, first, let's break down what your favorite Snapchat filter means about your personality, okay? Because there's a direct link between the kind of Snapchat filter you prefer and the inner workings of your mind and soul.
Okay.
Doesn't that make sense?
No.
Sure.
Go ahead. On.
Sure. Yeah, because you pick something that is how you would like to present yourself to the world. It tells you a lot about what you think of you.
Or maybe you're just a dumbass playing on your phone.
Could be that as well.
Could it be that?
Yeah.
You're just being a goof off, and you got too much time in your hands. You're like, oh, look at me. Now I'm a puppy. Isn't that a possibility? Here's what your
rainbow is coming out of my mouth.
Here's what it says about your personality. You're a dumbass. Ugh, the Snapchat thing is making me nuts. If you like the puppy filter, you're fun, happy-go-lucky, and don't always need to look your best.
Yeah, that's... I'm not...
Cosmopolitan Magazine. This is the source. Cosmo says, you're also smart if you use the puppy filter because it covers your nose, which Cosmo calls the butthole of your face.
Well, that's a little harsh.
I know.
What did the nose do to deserve that?
Noses are great, by the way.
Right?
Not only do they smell stuff for you, but how could you wear your sunglasses? It'd slide right off your face.
Right.
So let's not knock noses.
Noses are not the butthole of your face.
Right.
So we disagree already with this.
And if I'm at a red light, picking, nothing more fun. It's like a Rubik's Cube. Keeps me busy while I'm waiting. So, let's not knock the nose.
Okay.
Let's see. Deer, if you like the deer filter. You're youthful and innocent, no matter what your birth certificate says. But you can throw the smack down and take care of yourself. This is in a major publication.
This
astrology's looking pretty good now, isn't it?
Really is, yes.
That's what I'm saying. Face swap? Congratulations. You're savvy, resourceful, and have a strong sense of identity.
Oh, man. If this came from Snapchat, I would say this is embarrassing.
straight up ugly filters? Oh, you can be dark and serious.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You aren't afraid to go deep. Right? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you can find out all 10 types of personalities.
Do we need to
using Snapchats at
see more of those?
Cosmopolitan. If you're desperate for the information, you can look.
Thanks, up. Obama.
To every cloud, there is a silver lining. It has been said.
It has been said.
This may be ours. People still reeling from that very scary situation where Kim Kardashian was bound and gagged and robbed for $10 million in jewels. She is so rattled that apparently Keeping Up with the Kardashians, the TV show, has been shut down.
Oh.
Production on that show has been shut down. So?
All right.
It's a win-win, right?
That is some good news. Aren't you stunned that they wouldn't want to film the reaction in the aftermath of that robbery?
There's no saying that still won't happen. It just won't happen right now.
Right.
I don't think this is a forever kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think she's understandably rattled. And they're going to wait until she can compose herself so she can pretend to be upset about this later.
Gotcha.
That's my guess. By the way, Kim says this has been a real learning experience for her.
Okay.
That she has realized material things mean nothing. It's not all about the money. Right. Okay. Some people in security are saying it's her own fault.
Why?
For constantly Instagramming and posting pictures of her jewels and showing off her rings, and it's like you're dangling meat in front of a tiger.
Well, she did do that a lot in the days leading up to the robbery, and everyone in Paris knew where she was staying, too.
Yeah. So, can't take anything for granted in this world. She also, by the way, they said their security team is thinking about getting her a body double so people won't be able to track her every move because she never Instagrams that! Oh, you know where she is all the time? Just look at her Instagram and her Twitter. Don't do that so much. This is going to be really inappropriate, so please bear with me. And I'm not talking about myself, naturally.
Okay.
But do you think there is a portion of society, upon hearing the details of how she was only in a robe and she was bound with zip ties and all that kind of stuff, that got a little thrill out of that, a little excitement out of that? Like some bondage discipline
I mean,
type people.
I assume
or whatever,
so.
Right?
I assume so.
Isn't that creepy? You think about there's the people out there who are thinking that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's a little weird.
Yeah.
But, go on. I'm sorry, being
See?
Oh.
This is what I'm saying.
She's scared for her life, and that's what you want a boner right then?
I wasn't. Take them where you can get them, right, Bean? today's celebrity birthdays. Simon Cowell's 57 years old today. Oh, Simon.
Simon's zero for effort.
Simon.
Zero for style.
Come on, Simon.
Zero for star quality. And you know what? I'm being generous.
It's been a big part of our life for a long time now,
sure.
Simon. Tom York from Radiohead. Remember time Bean got in a fight with him?
That was crazy. That was an unfortunate incident in Kevin and Bean's history.
48 years old today. Comedian Tim Minchin. Our buddy Tim Minchin's 41. Sean Ashmore from Conviction in the X-Men movies. He's 37. And Chavirch's singer, Lauren Mayberry, is 29.
They just go by churches.
I'm pretty Chavirch's. There is a B in right there. Here. Is this a typo? Is that not how it's spelled?
No, it's spelled wacky.
Chavirch's is how it's spelled.
It's just churches, though.
Do they say that?
They do.
Well, then why don't they spell that?
I'm not positive.
Why don't Chavirch's and Weekend get together and they can put on a concert called the Mystic Festival? Damn people, learn how to spell. Lauren Mayberry's 29. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You can win a 4-pack of Disneyland Resort Park Hopper passes, plus join K-Rock for a private party at the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror as we prepare to say goodbye to that. Details at K-Rock.com. Your chance to win is coming up in about 6 minutes from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Pretty good deal. There's a heads up for you. If you love Disneyland, stick around.
Here's the headline. And I find it weird that I'm on the side of ISIS in this particular case. But ISIS hunts for cats in Mosul after council issues fatwa.
How dare you?
They've issued a fatwa over on cats.
Now, first of all,
cats suck.
Cats are awesome. They're wonderful, wonderful animals.
Great
pets. No, they're the best. You've never even had a cat, by the way.
You know why? Suck.
Because they're awesome. And you're missing out on what wonderful, sweet pets they are.
Sure.
The best headline I've seen on this story is Apocalypse Meow, first of all. But for folks who aren't familiar
with what goes on,
because maybe not everybody's into ISIS the way, you know, beer mug is, a fatwa is where if you're living by strict ancient Islamic law, like you're in the 8th century, you go to a cleric and you say, hey, who should we be killing? And he says, you know what? That guy's a bad dude. Don't care for her. That organization's got to go. And in this case, no more cats. And that's how it works. And then that's your rules. It's been handed down to you. Hey, you're supposed to kill these people because we have issued a fatwa against them.
I don't want anyone to kill people, but I'm fine with ridding yourself of cats.
Because cats are the devil's pet. That is an awful thing. Cats are the devil's pet. So furry and so funny.
Possessed by Satan.
Well, we wanted to find out more about this. So we don't have a specific person. It's kind of hard to get somebody from ISIS to go on the record. So are we just dialing up?
I think we're just calling Mosul, yeah.
Let's call Mosul then.
Hello?
I felt like we might hear a phone ringing or something.
Hello?
We're not calling. They're already on the phone?
I don't know.
Okay, let's see.
Hello?
Hello, ISIS.
Oh. I'm sorry, what?
Hello, ISIS. Can I help you? How can I help you today? Thank you for calling ISIS. Your phone call is important to us. How may I help you?
This is the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock. We're in America. Is that okay?
Sure. Why not?
Oh, all right. I was worried that I heard something about death to America. I wanted to make sure we were cool.
Of course, death to America. That goes without saying.
Okay.
Look, you know, you're on the phone. What am I going to do? I'm here in customer service. There's nothing I can do about
ISIS
it.
ISIS has customer service?
Of course we do. What do you think we are? Some sort of backward organization full of religious zealots who are living the Stone Age?
Yes.
Pretty much.
Exactly.
All right. Fair enough.
All right. So this new fatwa against cats.
Right.
It has said this decree is in line with the vision, ideology, and beliefs of Islam. Can you please explain, sir?
Yes. Cats blow.
Agreed.
And we have discovered that cats are just pig dogs.
Okay.
Cats are the Americans of the animal world, and we just hate them. So we have put out a fatwa here in Mosul that you can no longer breed indoor cats and don't breed outdoor cats.
Okay.
And don't forget the whole cat thing. Just let it go.
But in recent years, hasn't part of your recruitment there for ISIS been to put up photographs of some of your soldiers with cats? I mean, you're trying to bring people in by showing how fun and furry they are.
Yes, that was a huge mistake. We said, let's make us look more sympathetic. Give us kittens to hold in pictures.
Right.
Everyone will come and join the ISIS. And so we got some cats. And you know, here's this thing, those cats, they have sex with each other.
Right.
And next thing you know, you have cats and cats and cats and more cats.
Right.
So I said to our leader, Ahmed Al-Jarro, I said, you have to...
What's your leader's name?
Ahmed Al-Jarro.
Okay.
How about that?
And we said, what are we going to do with these cats? And he said, fatwa. So whenever we have a problem, we just issue another fatwa.
I see.
Okay. But wouldn't it just be easier to, you know, maybe spay and neuter the cats just so you can keep your cats that are pets, but
you
maybe...
think that would be easier? For one of us to go to veterinary college and learn how to spay and neuter cats and then start some sort of clinic in Mosul, then capture the feral cats, bring them somehow into cages into the clinic,
right,
and then one by one spay and neuter the cats. You think that would be the easy way for us
to go? I mean, when you say it like that, it sounds like it may not be.
There's other easy ways to handle this.
Oh, no. That's
the problem is now gone.
Oh, no, please don't do that.
Oh, that's awful.
The one bites the dust.
Oh, come on. Those are innocent little harmless animals.
Now you are now, yes.
Oh, please stop.
Oh, I can barely see for all the bowls of antifreeze I've laid around here.
Oh, no.
Wow. Oh, there's a whole bunch of cats.
I am starting to get a bad vibe about ISIS. This is Apocalypse Meow. It's Meow again. I hate this.
Anybody need the bags of kitty litter? We got some left over.
Yeah, no thank you.
Comedian Whitney Cummings joins us on the program later on. Also, Matt Money Smith will talk about the Dodgers in the playoffs. And it's one of my favorite phone topics we ever do. And it's been a number of years. You lost a body part next hour. You lost a body part.
Lost like misplaced it?
Maybe.
No, afraid
maybe.
Not.
First, though, Friday morning. That means Ralph Garman is here. It's time for the Movie Beat. Hit it, Steve.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Here's the thing we know about books. They're for losers, right?
Reading is for losers, yes.
But the good thing about books is you can take them and turn them into movies.
All right.
Right? That's the upside of books.
Sure.
They give us some movies. And this weekend, there's a huge influence of the publishing world on the cinematic one. Starting off with Girl on a Train. The Girl on the Train. This was a smash hit monster bestseller about when it was out. And now the film version finally hits the big screen. Emily Blunt, Haley Bennett, Rebecca Ferguson, Justin Theroux, all star. And story about a divorcee who becomes entangled in a missing persons investigation when she witnesses something sinister from the window of her train. Premise is she is always looking out the window of the train, and she's always watching this one couple who live in this house, which is she can see from her train window.
Right.
And so she becomes obsessed sort of with their lives, and then things go south, and she gets sucked in, and bad things start to happen. Here's some clips from the trailer of the... Nope. Apparently, I got the order wrong.
You did, but I'm ready.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here's some clips from the trailer of The Girl on the Train.
It's my understanding that the woman who has gone missing was his nanny.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Megan.
Rachel, why are you here?
Because I'm helping find Megan.
I don't think you're helping anybody.
I saw your wife with someone.
Megan has a therapist. Is that who you saw?
What happened that night in the tunnel?
Did you murder Megan Hipwell?
No.
You are all going to die tonight.
Or did she? She doesn't know. Why? Because she's an alcoholic, Kevin. Okay?
Why do you say life my lesson. Name after
life
alcoholic?
Life lesson.
How dare you?
Another book that was a huge hit for kids was Middle School, The Worst Years of My Life. The movie version hit screens this weekend, starring Griffin Gluck.
I'm sorry?
You heard me. Griffin Gluck stars, along with Lauren Graham. And the very funny Andrew Daly. Andrew Daly, one of my favorite comic actors.
I like him too.
Today. Did you see the most recent episode of Modern Family?
No.
He plays the principal of the school that Luke goes to.
Taped it. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, he's so very funny.
I tape about 30 of them, and then I skim through them really quickly.
Smart man.
Yeah.
That's what I heard a guy tell me on the radio once. Yeah, as you can imagine, the kids will eat up this story of a teenager who's tired of his middle school's trying to suck all the joy and creativity out of life, so to shake things up, they come up with a plan. They're going to break every rule in school.
Let the Students Run Wild, Middle School, The Worst Years of My Life is the name of the movie. Here's some clips from the trailer.
No outside food.
No talking.
No laughing.
No going to the bathroom.
It's a pretty common rule.
Creativity has no place in this school.
No risk, no reward. We have to fight.
We've got to take on the establishment.
Rebels. All right, guys, I've given you all your assignments. Let's break every rule in the code of conduct to expose Principal Dwight.
If you get caught, you're going to end up in a new school called prison.
I will find the hooligans, and I will bring them to justice.
The microphone is on the fritz, sir.
I like my big butt.
Look at Kevin laughing. Kevin laughing at butt humor. It's written for a 12-year-old.
How dare you?
Look
sounds
at
about
you.
Right. It's a bullhorn. Was it working, Ralph? It was cutting in and out, so you
right.
couldn't tell
so
exactly what
like
he was saying.
Talked about his butt.
Right.
And that was funny to you.
Well, I mean, yeah.
You're adorable. So Kevin will be seeing Middle School, The Worst Years of My Life this weekend. And finally, The Birth of a Nation. Nat Turner, famous slave and preacher in antebellum South, orchestrates an uprising, gets his people to finally take what's theirs, a little dignity, a little, you know, something-something, right?
Sure.
I believe that's actually in the dialogue.
A little something-something.
A little something-something.
He was really into killing Whitey, right?
He did not like Whitey.
Right.
And I think he had a reason.
For good reason.
I think
for
he had a legitimate reason.
Yeah. Sure.
Whitey was no friend of his.
Right. No.
Nate Parker stars and also directs this film. Armie Hammer stars in it. Penelope Ann Miller, Jackie Earle Haley. Great cast. This was The Darling of Sundance. Famously broke the record, I think, for an independent film being sold at Sundance for, I believe, $17 million or something.
Wow. Yeah, 17 and a half. That's right.
Yeah. So, finally, hitting the screens. You can check it out for yourself. Birth of a Nation. Here's some clips from the trailer.
What you think you're doing, boy?
I asked you a question.
You're done preaching for a little while. Learned your lesson, boy?
Oh, yes. I've learned. The Lord's spoken to me. Visions of what's to come. To rise from good against evil.
What are we gonna do?
We'll fight. But once it begins, our brothers and sisters will join. And we'll number in the hundreds, thousands even.
Yep.
Do you guys have a... What now? What's happening
keep
now?
Keep going. Do you guys have a...
Slaves started uprising, and they start kept talking. They don't listen to us. We're just, oh, shut up, slaves. They don't just be quiet. They keep talking.
I was just wondering if you guys ever have a struggle like I do. A movie like this comes out, and you know it's important, and you know you should see it, but it looks too hard to watch, too painful to watch, too difficult to watch. Does that ever cross your mind? I don't think I can look at that.
Well, since I'm not a racist, I think it's easier for me than it is for you being
no,
being
no, no.
All
it's not, it doesn't have anything to do with that.
It must be difficult for you to confront your
there are things
your prejudice
on the screen.
Right there on the big screen, while the rest of us who aren't racist, it's easier.
Man's
easier
inhumanity
for us
to man
to
can be so awful and hard to watch sometimes.
Right,
it's tough for me to pull pull the trigger on. Using that as an afternoon's entertainment.
Pull the trigger. Is that what you think of when you see black people
no,
up on the screen?
That's not what
you
I'm think, saying
oh,
at all.
First thing comes into your mind when you see a black man up on the screen. What do you think? Pull the trigger.
No, no. It's
nice.
Just an
that's exactly
about,
what I'm talking about.
Do I want to
oh,
spend
it's an
2 hours
expression. Sure it is. Yeah.
Being that sad.
A lot of expressions, too. Like, light the cross. Right?
It sounds
another,
racist.
Another
all
expression
right.
of yours.
It does sound racist.
Like, I would throw all the
questions. So why isn't my sheet ironed? That's another famous saying I've heard in your house.
So the guy who doesn't go to movies is asking if this is too sad to go to.
I'm just saying
that's
that
what's
you,
happening.
Look,
but he's going to not go for a brand new reason. Kevin.
Right, that's
right.
true.
Yeah, okay. All right, good enough. Those are your choices for the weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Keep on listening for your chance to win tickets for Sublime with Rome and The Offspring at Irvine Meadows Amphitheater. That show is coming up next week. And access to the TCL VIP Club. We will tell you when to call in. Hey, Dave, King of Mexico.
What's up?
Dave is not only the producer of the show, he puts together the Internet Roundup for us every week, where we take the best viral videos of the past 7 days and put them in one location for you at krock.com. I think this is a pretty good batch. Let's get into it, shall we?
Wake up, and watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah. Easily the best video of the week is the Christian mom who hears a song dropping her kids off to school, and it's a song by Vince Staples. The song is much better than the title, which is North North. And she just goes ballistic. And look, she doesn't want her kids to hear that, and that's fine.
So change the channel.
I'm sure that's what – well, that's definitely what she did and what she will do, because she does say in the video she'll never listen to that radio station again. But rarely have I seen someone get so upset by something they've heard on the radio that they sit down and have an 11-minute meltdown over it. Here's just a tiny piece of it.
I cannot believe this stuff is on the radio. I'm sorry. I've got to collect myself because this is what our youth is being subjected to. It says, bitch, you thirsty. Please grab a Sprite. My Crip's lurking. Don't die tonight.
Now, once the internet saw that she was reading the lyrics, there was a race to see who could put a beat to it. And she actually ends up sounding pretty good.
Put that on my Yankee hat. I'm a gangster Crip. Gangster rap. Where the ladies at? Where the hoes? Where the bitches? Every real... Oh, the difference.
Can you imagine what she... That's the person who was crying at the lyrics. Can you imagine somebody showing that to her where now she's actually singing the song?
By the way, that's the beat to the song. But isn't it funny how she's complaining about the song while she's reading the lyrics, uncensored with her daughter right behind her.
In the room, yeah.
Right behind her.
Correct, yes.
Good job, lady.
And by the way, a lot of people were very surprised to see Vince Staples' reaction, the guy who sings the original song. He came out and defended her and said, look, she's just talking about what she thinks is appropriate for her kids. She's completely got a right to do that. So he totally was cool with it. He totally handled it well.
That's right.
But it is, it's a great video.
Shout out to the 562. What up, Long Beach?
Okay,
we do that?
Thank you.
Babe.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Kristen Chenoweth, who is a Broadway icon, just a classic of stage and screen, and a tremendous singer, was a guest on Jimmy Kimmel Live this week, and they were talking about the awesome theme song for the Game of Thrones. And you really should watch this whole video. We only have a tiny piece of it here, but she sings the theme song, and listen to this voice. Really funny.
Yeah, not even close to the cats, though. The cats singing.
Oh, the cat version was your favorite.
It's my favorite, yeah.
Here's a great idea. If you want to be first on social media anytime there's some sort of a school shooting or an earthquake or some natural disaster where you need to be, let your friends know that you have thoughts and prayers for those people, there's now an app.
Just download it to your phone. Then once a tragic event occurs somewhere in the world, TP will post thoughts and prayers on your behalf for all of your friends and family to see.
Cool. There's been a mass stabbing in New York, and my thoughts and prayers were automatically posted. I feel like a better person, and I didn't have to do anything.
Now, of course, the app isn't real, but before you post your thoughts and prayers, do yourself a favor and spend 1 minute watching Anthony Jeselnik talking about thoughts and prayers from his comedy special. It'll change your mind about it. There's a Canadian show called Mr. D. I was unfamiliar with it before this, but it looks like it's something I may have to look into. Here's a guy who's teaching. How old do you think these kids are?
Probably kindergarten.
Kindergarten, six, seven, something like that?
Yeah, probably five.
And they're,
five,
they're learning some spelling, and the question is, give me some words that end in the letters A-N. So first there's man. And then there's fan, and then somebody says lesbian, and then it just goes off the rails from there.
You can never be a lesbian.
No fear. I want to be a lesbian.
Me too.
We can all be lesbians. Okay, let's just move on.
Let's try words that end in O-N.
Prostitution.
What is prostitution?
What is prostitution? Let's say prostitution is when you work in the street and you get paid.
I want to do prostitution.
These kids they have a lot of good questions and a lot of good comments. Honest Trailers are back. It's the best, and this time they handle The Flash.
Meet Barry Allen, a cute 20-something CSI who's somehow in charge of solving the city's most gruesome crimes.
I hope you both skipped your breakfast.
But after a convenient particle accelerator explosion gives him super speed, he'll use that amazing new power to constantly complain about not being fast enough.
I have to go faster.
What about the equation, me getting faster?
Because I want to go faster. I should have been faster.
You're going to help me get faster.
I'm not getting faster, am I?
Well, no.
Kevin, you watch The Flash. Did you ever notice how much he shakes his head when he talks?
No. The bobblehead.
No. The bobblehead is hilarious in this video. Last week was the vice presidential debate. And, as is the case, why watch the whole two-hour thing when you can just wait a few days and see the thing songified? And that makes everything better.
If Donald Trump could say all the things that you said he'd say in the way you said he'd say them.
That small potatoes Trump called Mexicans rapists. He went after John McCain. He said African Americans are living in hell. During his campaign,
that small potatoes.
So good.
Well done.
Best news bloopers of the month. They come out with one of these every month, and it's crazy how much stuff happens around the world on TV that's so funny. The first part of this clip, you're going to see a guy who's losing control of the baby alligator that he's trying to hold. And then after that, you'll hear Gary Johnson, a man who is also running for president right now, in one of the most embarrassing things that's ever happened to a politician on live TV.
Do they know? Do they know? Hold him tight. Hold him tight. Hold him tight.
I am. I am.
Hold him tight.
I am.
Right.
I am.
You
got it.
I am.
Oh, it's okay. All right.
All right, Johnny, you got it.
What would you do if you were elected about Aleppo?
About?
Aleppo.
And what is Aleppo?
You're kidding.
No.
Aleppo is in Syria. It's the epicenter of the refugee crisis.
Okay, got it. Got it.
Okay.
10 minutes of things that were so happy happened on TV.
News.
The Daily Show did a great piece. What's this correspondent's name that I love so much, Dave, that they sent down to North Carolina? Do you remember his name?
Ron Wood, I think.
I think it is Roy Wood.
Roy Wood, yeah.
Roy Wood, I think, maybe. Anyway, he's so funny. And they went down, and he and his partner set up what looks like an actual barbecue food truck. And what they were doing is they wanted to put into effect North Carolina's very controversial law, and other states have this as well, where you can deny service to people based on them being gay. And the people who are trying to just buy barbecue are very confused by being told they're not allowed to, and it's pretty great.
We don't serve gay people.
Am I gay?
You are.
Look, your gay taste buds aren't even calibrated to enjoy straight mac and cheese. They're more cultivated to enjoy things like cilantro and penis.
I'm not new to North Carolina.
It's fun here. You can say whatever the f*** you want.
Is this what being white is like? You just tell people no for no reason?
Right.
It's so funny. And finally, remember last week when we had those girls who thought they would try the Carolina Reaper, the hottest pepper in the world?
Yeah, and it was great. It was all fun and games till about 30 seconds in when they just lost it.
Yeah, one of them, I think, ended up having to go to the hospital or something like that. She literally thought she was going to die. Well, this dude thought he would smoke the hottest pepper in the world. So
good
he
man.
Puts it in his bong. And he takes a long time to take that first hit because he knows it's going to hurt, and man, does it hurt.
And I thought, I'm going to take a Carolina Reaper, and I'm going to bong rip one.
I like the way he takes.
I can't even feel my arms. I can't feel my arms at all.
We got to get some Reapers.
Did you order the chip?
I ordered the chip. Yeah, I'm waiting for it to come.
What's going on with this guy who puts this video up? Does he just do it because
dumb and high?
No, but does he do it because he hopes it's popular enough that he'll make some money off of it from YouTube? I mean, is that what this is about? Trying to make money?
Just to be famous on YouTube?
Yeah.
I assume, yeah.
It's a hell of a video. You can see all of these and so much more right now at KevinDeBean.com or KROQ.com. It's a brand new Kevin DeBean Internet Roundup.
Wake up, and watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah. 106.7 KROQ is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. RJ Bell from Las Vegas gives us his picks for week 5.
Because he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
That's coming up next on The Kevin and Bean Show.
How'd your Cardinals look last night? I saw they won, but I didn't watch the game, Kevin.
They won.
But how'd they look?
I mean, you know.
They won. Looked like they didn't lose.
All right.
They were not overly impressive.
Uh-huh.
But
well,
they won. 49ers
aren't either. So.
Right. So I think it was just the 49ers wanted it less.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, San Francisco, I'm sorry. I've been where you've been with the Chip Kelly disaster. And now I feel for you. I feel for you deeply. Just know that. Know that you have a friend. 49er fans.
Anyway, we'll see what RJ has to say. Had another winning weekend last Friday. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Before I get to the beat, let me tell you what you're going to do tomorrow. Got your day all planned for you. This is nice. I take the responsibility off your shoulders, and I can just tell you what to do tomorrow so you don't have to say, oh, what am I going to do on my Saturday? Here's what you're going to do.
Service you provide.
You're going to go to Santa Anita Racetrack.
Yay!
You're going to go through the gates there at Gate 6 at 11 a.m., and you're going to enjoy a day of racing and drinking and eating and dancing and singing and laughing. All those things will happen for you at the K-Rock Brewfest at Santa Anita tomorrow. There's going to be, of course, the pony races. Then we've got 40 different microbrews, a ton of food trucks. And the K-Rock team will be there giving away a trip for two to Voodoo Fest in New Orleans.
coming up Halloween weekend. All that and more. Speaking of beer and the Brewfest, a little aside here. This is kind of interesting. Deftones have launched their own beer.
All right.
Deftones have come up with a beer called Phantom Bride IPA, and it's in very limited production, but they're going to have a bunch of it. They're going to have a couple kegs worth of it at the Brewfest this weekend. So it's pretty much your only chance, probably, to taste this new beer from Deftones. If you're a Deftones fan and you want to try their beer, then you can try it out this weekend at the racetrack. So there's a little extra bonus for you. I want to give away some VIP tickets to this event. First two callers who call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll get a four-pack of VIP tickets to the K-Rock Brewfest tomorrow at Santa Anita. It's you and three friends. You get drink vouchers. You get a racing program. All good fun to be had at the Brewfest at Santa Anita. And if you don't win, don't feel bad. Go to krock.com, get you all the details of how you can go tomorrow and have a good time.
I wonder if Kevin's suspension will ever be lifted and he'll be allowed back at Santa Anita.
If he does go back, I've heard it has to be a la Hannibal Lecter, where we bring him out on a hand cart and he's in a straitjacket.
I don't feel like that's true.
And we have to cover his mouth with some sort of mask so he
doesn't... like the only way to make it safe for the people who are there.
That isn't true.
Bite people's faces off. And you can't throw any steins, that's for sure. Hey, this is a Mary Poppins Returns movie's happening. You know about that, right?
Sure.
The sequel to the classic Disney film Mary Poppins. Emily Blunt is starring as the beloved...
Great choice.
Beloved nanny who teaches kids all they need to know.
Perfect casting, right, Ralph?
I think so.
I think so, too.
If you really... you'd be hard-pressed to find someone to replace... In our hearts and minds, of course, Julie Andrews in that role because she is so identifiable. But Emily Blunt, pretty close. And Ben Whishaw, we announced some time ago, is playing the Banks kid, all grown up. But there's two of them. There's a boy and a girl, a brother and sister. And they just announced who will play the sister, Emily Mortimer, who many of us fell in love with in the newsroom.
Adorable.
We'll be playing grown-up Jane Banks, Jane and Michael were the names of those kids. And they're all grown up and kids of their own. And then Mary Poppins comes back and teaches their kids an important lesson about putting medicine in your sugar on a spoon or something. I'm not quite sure. Scoop, scooper, dowel, fragilistic, expigulabish.
That's it.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Lin-Manuel Miranda will play a street lamplighter named Jack in the Disney film.
All right.
You wonder if the Brits ever wonder if we'll ever get it right with Mary Poppins? First, you have Dick Van Dyke, really, as a chimney sweep, worst English accent ever, and now you have a Puerto Rican guy from New York. He's going to be the new British guy who's the lamplighter. Really? Yeah, that's right, Brits. That's what you get for taking all our superheroes. Suck it. Right?
Right.
That's how we handle them.
That's right.
Freaking limeys. And while we're talking about movies, this sounds cool. Lee Daniels will be directing. And Jay-Z producing the upcoming biopic about the life of Richard Pryor.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. Lee was originally going to do the film, but then he had to back out because he was the showrunner at Empire. And he didn't have time to do both. But now that project's back on the front burner, now that Empire's up and running and can handle itself. And Mike Epps will be playing Richard Pryor. Oprah Winfrey to play his grandmother. And Kate Hudson play Pryor's widow, Jennifer Lee Pryor. So, cast is in place and we're good to go. As is the sequel to Blade Runner. Oh, one of my favorite films, Blade Runner. They have a new title. Now we know what it's going to be called. Blade Runner 2049. Right?
Sure.
Yes. Harrison Ford will be back, even though the film allegedly takes place several decades after the original film. Ryan Gosling and Jared Leto will also star in the film. And, here's the thing. I thought this is pretty fascinating and appropriate for this film. There's going to be a brand new virtual reality game for Oculus, which will be released along with the film.
Oh, that's cool.
So you can play along with the film with Oculus VR when the movie comes out. So we are now entering into that next generation of film going where you'll actually be able to disappear inside the movie.
It's funny because we went from regular movies that are now also available in 3D and then regular movies that are available in IMAX. And like you say, maybe this is the next step.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Church's singer Lauren Mayberry is 29 years old today. Actor Sean Ashmore from Conviction.
X-Men movies. He is 37. Tim Minchin, the comedian, songwriter, Grammy Award winner, Emmy Award winner. No, Tony Award winner.
Tony.
Yeah. 41 years old. Tom York from Radiohead is 48. And Simon Cowell turns 57 years old today. Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
Believe it or not, a lot of people in the news lately are losing body parts. And if that happened to you, we're going to want to talk to you coming up later this hour here on the Kevin Beach Show. That's a feature that I'm very proud of that's still to come here on the program. Also, the lovely comedian Whitney Cummings will be joining us next hour as well. First, though, give me my favorite theme song, would you?
Because he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
RJ is the founder of pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press, and he joins us every Friday morning to talk NFL. How are you, sir?
Excellent. Tons of action. I have all 10 fingers, though, so everything's good so far.
Well, you had another good week last week. You were 2-1. You are this season at 50-50. Is that what I understand right now?
You know, I tend to look at it over a 3-year horizon. We're over 60%.
All right, listen, I know we have a ton of NFL action to get to, but I just want to ask, just because, you know, we got Dodger fever going on right now with that game this afternoon, and the playoffs are underway, two games yesterday. Who is the favorite in Las Vegas to win this year's World Series?
Yeah, so entering the playoffs, the four big favorites, and, you know, they're all with us now, Cubs were big favorites. And then next up, Rangers, Red Sox, Nationals, Dodgers were all in that next tier. So the math guys really tell you the baseball playoffs have a lot of luck involved. But even so, Cubs, big favorites, and then Dodgers right up there at the top, or at least the top half of the favorites.
That is so interesting to me because I know a lot of years people go and they bet their heart. And, you know, they're Cubs fans, long-suffering Cubs fans for years have hoped that this was your year. But you know what? It might not be a dumb bet this year for once, but, because their team is that good.
But do you think that that's sort of a curse in a lot of their minds? Oh, no, no, don't say that we're a lock. Oh, please don't say that we're going to win it, that we're the favorite.
I do agree with you totally that the Cubs have a bigger fan base. So what you do get is those guys that are putting $10. They want to get that futures ticket in their wallet, show it around. I think you get more of that in the preseason. Now that they're in the playoffs, I think a lot of people are betting because they think the Cubs have a heck of a chance.
All right, good enough. Let's move on to football. Kevin, what's your favorite theme song for any football team?
Oh, you know.
Rabbit, do you know?
This is not one of your picks for the weekend, RJ, but we have to ask, Rams have the Bills in town? How are we feeling about that?
I tell you, I like the Bills here. First off, if you look at the Rams offense, they have the worst offense in the NFL yards per play. Every time they snap the ball, they gain less yards on average than any team in the NFL. So you got to give the Rams a ton of credit for these two road wins. Very impressive, 3-1. But let's talk about Los Angeles distraction. Right, so a lot of St. Louis people moved to L.A. Now they've won two road games. So, you know, toast of the town. Next week they play at Detroit. The week after they play in London. So 1 week out of five they're going to be home off of two road wins. I think there could be a little L.A. distraction.
Interesting. All right, so the Rams are +2.5 with Buffalo visiting. Let's see what your picks are for this weekend. You've got, for week five, the underdog pick is Tennessee +2.5 over Miami, if that game even happens with the hurricane coming.
Yeah, and that is a factor in this game. This is an underdog pick. We do like the Titans here. And talking to a bookmaker earlier, he said that of all the teams in the NFL, the Titans have had the second most money bet on them this week. Now think about that. The Tennessee Titans second most, that's a sign of significant professional action on Tennessee. And we like to follow the pros, and I like to pass it on to the listeners. Now, Miami's home field typically isn't very good. In the NFL, 3 points is what you usually allot for home field advantage.
Right.
Miami, we only give 1.5 points. So what's the logic of that? Well, there's a transient population, so not a lot of rabid fans. And oftentimes there's opposing fans that are actually in the stadium. If you look at the Dolphins as a home favorite, and remember they're laying 3.5 here, 13 winners, 43 losers against the spread, 13-43. And you mentioned it. I think with the weather, even if it's not a problem on game day, And that's important to remember if you're looking at these weather games. It's the distraction during the week that can be a really big deal because you're worried about your family. You're worried about all the other kind of life things. You're not focused on football. So I think you add it all up. Underdog special of the week, Titans plus 3.5.
Yeah, and a lot of their fan base is displaced. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people have had to move out of Miami, and they're going to be very busy and distracted, you know, moving back in this weekend. Football is going to be the last thing on their
plus
mind.
Plus, Dolphins sure. fans are dicks, right?
Well, you know, I don't say it exactly like that, but I don't think they're as rabid, I guess, is a good way to say it.
All right. Here's a battle of teams that are just living about 30 miles from one another. You've got the Ravens minus 3.5 over the Washington Redskins. How come?
Yeah, we're going best bet on Washington, or I'm sorry, check that on Baltimore here. You know, this is equal parts anti-Washington and pro-Baltimore. You know, we talk about mainstream narratives, right? It's not always based on fact. If you think about the Redskins last year, you think they made the playoffs, and they actually won a game in the playoffs. That's a good year, it sounds like, right? But you look back in 16 regular season games, Washington was only favored by Vegas twice out of 16 games. It's almost hard to believe. You have 8 home games. That means at least 6 times you were a home underdog. So this was a team that overperformed to make the playoffs, but really wasn't expected to do that. And this year hasn't been very good at all.
No.
And the coaching has been really bad. The wise guys I talked to are like, this is the worst coaching we've seen for quite a while in the NFL for Washington. Now, Baltimore, good coaches, right? So that's an advantage. But also remember, they had a ton of injuries last year, Baltimore. And it wasn't just, oh, you can throw last year's record out. It was the fact that they had a new offensive coordinator, Baltimore did last year, and they weren't able to grow into that offense like you'd expect them to. So now this year, they're actually getting better significantly each week because of that learning curve that they're benefiting from. And on defense, so that's the offensive side for Baltimore. On defense, if you look at the advanced stats, they have the 4th best defense right now. So I think that, and lastly, with Baltimore, we've been talking home teams, they have a really, really good home field advantage. Last 68 home games, they've won 52 out of 68.
Wow.
That's 76%. We're only laying 3.5 here with Baltimore. We're going to make that best bet of the week.
That makes a lot of sense to me. Big game pick is the Bengals -1 over the Cowboys. And the Cowboys have been a very surprisingly good team this year, right?
Yeah, I think they're a little overrated. We're going with the Bengals here. And this is the pros versus the Joes, as they say. So if you look at the professional bettors, 4 times the money on Cincinnati. If you look at the recreational bettors, some people say the Joes, 7 times the money on Dallas. So whenever you have the professionals on one side, green eye shades, chomping on the cigars, and then you got the Joes on the other with the big finger that says #1 and all that. Well, I want to be on the pro side. That's who we're with here with Cincinnati. Now, remember, the Bengals had a lot of disruption last year between this last year and this year. They lost their #2 receiver. They lost their #3 receiver. They lost their offensive coordinator who became the Browns head coach, Hugh Jackson. So it's taken a little while for them to transition. But remember, they played Thursday night about 10 days ago now, and they looked really good. I expect that to continue. You look at Dallas, a lot of Dak Prescott talk, a ton of that. And they've exceeded expectations with him. But remember, 3 wins, all 3 of the teams below average. So, yes, it's nice they won the game. Not really impressive yet. The Bengals have a complex defense, which really is going to be a problem, at least we expect, against a rookie quarterback. And lastly, home field advantage again. Dallas is only worth 1.5 points at home, one of the worst home fields. Last 10 home games for the Cowboys, they've won 1.
Wow.
Out of 10 home games, they've won 1. We're going to go with Cincinnati -1 at Dallas.
All right, so these are RJ's picks for NFL Week 5. Underdog is Tennessee +3.5 over Miami. The best bet is Baltimore -3.5 over the Redskins. And big game pick is Bengals -1 over the Cowboys. You can read about these and all the other games and so much more at pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. Follow RJ on Twitter at RJ in Vegas and let him know if you win or lose any money based on his picks.
Especially
you heard here
win,
on the
though. Especially win.
Especially win.
Yeah.
Sure. RJ, have a great weekend, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Yes, he's RJ Bell.
I mentioned a few moments ago that there have been a number of stories in the news where people lost a body part. Lindsay Lohan was probably the most high-profile one. Did you ever get around to looking at that photo at TMZ.com, Kevin?
I didn't. I saw the one bandaged, but that's all.
Yeah.
That's all I want to see.
She lost a portion of her ring finger in a boating accident. Last Sunday, she's in the ocean off Turkey. She tried pulling up the boat anchor and somehow got entangled in it. Then the anchor pulled her down into the water, and she tried to untangle herself, and it sliced off the tip of her finger. So she had to go to the hospital, and a plastic surgeon was able to reattach it, so it looks like she's going to be fine. Then there's another story about a guy who is a professional soccer player in Ireland. He's in the League of Ireland Premier Division, and he was chasing after a soccer ball and apparently was either reaching through or it hit up against a fence or something like that, and he caught his wedding ring in the metal fence. And then pulling it away, he lost about half of his finger.
Ouch.
He suffered too much damage to save his finger, by the way. Imagine that. 1 second, everything's fine. You're just out there playing a game. And the next minute, you got a finger missing. No one ever wakes up thinking today's the day I'm going to lose a body part.
No, that's true.
So anyway, we're going to be taking your phone calls if you've lost a body part of any type at 1-800-520-106 and you had an amputation or you had an accident or somehow you are down a digit or a limb. We want to hear from you. It almost happened to one of our own, DJ Omar Khan's in Studio Hayo.
Hey, what's happening? Yeah, I was 13 years old and I was ditching from high school and I kicked on, it was during summer school, and I kicked on the swamp cooler to cool it down.
Right.
And it wasn't doing anything.
Really? And my swamp cooler wasn't working?
Yeah. And I knew my stepdad was going to be coming home. So I had to, switch it off. And what I would do is he would come home from lunch and I would hide in the closet when I was ditching.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, when you were ditching.
When I was
okay.
ditching, right.
I didn't know that was a full-time thing.
Yeah. Right. So I turned off the switch and it did not shut off. So my thought was like, oh my God, he's going to know somebody's here. You know
right.
what I mean? So I go climb up on top of the roof.
Right.
And I open up the little panel, and there's this fan spinning, and I'm, 13, moron, and it doesn't look like it's spinning too fast. So I
for
reach
what?
To stop it. With my hand.
Why wouldn't you use your shoe or something else?
Listen, I'm a moron. So I reach in there, kunk, but I stop the fan, and I look at my finger, and it's hanging on by just a piece of skin.
Ouch, below that top knuckle?
Right, exactly.
Oh,
and
dude.
I must have been in shock because it didn't hurt or anything. It wasn't squirting blood, and I thought, well, this sucks. And I hop down, and I call 911. Cool as a cucumber. Hey, I cut my finger. It's not bleeding too bad. Could you send somebody down? And I'm not kidding. When they send somebody down, there was like a paramedic and three fire trucks just for one finger. It
wow.
was crazy. So I'm busted, and I get in the ambulance, get rushed down to the hospital. They call my parents, and my parents, they work in LA. I used to live in Fontana. So they're a good 2.5-3 hours away from getting to the hospital. So I'm
if
there.
If they leave immediately.
Right. So I'm there with my severed finger. They can't do anything legally because I guess it's not life-threatening. So I'm there hanging out in the hospital ER with my busted finger.
Wait, they can't give you any pain medication or anything else?
They put it on ice. So my hand was on ice
for three hours. So in other words, they wouldn't even automatically sew it back up
because
they need your parents' permission?
They didn't do anything. The gnarliest part, though, was that I got a bunch of dirt in there.
Oh.
So once they numbed it up, I could hear them scraping the dirt from the bone.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty bad.
And
then they stitched it up. And
Omar's mom hates him, so it's like I'll wait till lunch before I leave.
Yeah, she won that day.
How did it heal? Does it seem completely normal to you?
You know, I have a bit of a weird finger now.
Yeah, but straight crooked.
Yeah. But other than that, it's all good.
All right.
Yeah, I have a feeling in it, and yeah.
Isn't it weird, though, to think about, and we have the lines are just blowing up at 1-800-520-1067 with people who have lost fingers and parts of fingers, that you easily could have been a guy who went through the rest of his life with half of that finger missing. Like Jerry Garcia, the Grateful Dead, just had half of a finger missing.
Yeah.
Just learn to deal with it.
That's right. All right, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Let's start with Casey. He's in Long Beach, please. Line one. He's our first You Lost a Body Part caller.
Hey, Casey.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks. What happened to your body? Which body part did you lose?
It was the tip of my thumb.
Okay.
All right.
I was working at a grocery store and slicing some meat for a customer on the deli slicer.
Oh.
And, took off the tip of my thumb.
Now, I would imagine 100% of people who are deli slicers are going to lose a piece of a finger at one point or another, aren't they? It just seems like just the repetitive nature of that job, it's eventually going to hit you.
It was inevitable.
Yeah. Did you ask the customer you still want the meat?
No, I feel bad for the coworker that had to find the piece of my thumb.
Put a little little bonus piece in with his hand.
I'd like less finger.
So were they able to reattach it, or you just have that part still missing?
Well, it came down to about the tip of my bone, and it actually grew back. There's just no fingerprint there anymore.
Sweet.
Oh, wow. Hey, if you could do that to the other nine fingers, you could get away with a life of crime,
right? Thanks for the call, Casey. Yeah. Appreciate that. Let's go to San Pedro, please, line 8.
Give me some James. Let's find out what body part he lost.
Hey, James.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. You lost a body part.
Yes, I did. When I was about 7 years old, I would always watch my mom leave for work, but I was jumping back and forth from her bed to a stool to, like, the windowsill. So when I jumped back onto the stool, they tipped over. I fell back, and I hit the back of my head on my mom's corner of the bed, and it ripped off my ear.
Oh, man, you lost an ear.
I lost an ear. And then at the time, my sister was babysitting me, so she called 911, called my mom back, rushed me to the hospital. They were able to reattach it, but I didn't even feel it. I didn't know it at the time. So after I fell, she picked me up, checked if I was okay. I started jumping on the bed, and she saw blood dripping. She didn't know where it was coming from, and then she looked at my head.
She must have thought you were insane. No ear, bleeding, and still jumping.
Yep, jumped on the bed because I was just a little kid. You know, I didn't really feel it, I guess.
Meth is a great drug, huh?
Yeah. Well, he was a little kid. I don't think he was on meth. But that's insane. Like, why didn't that hurt more than anything that had ever happened to you before?
Had to be shock, right?
Yeah, I did, probably, because then it took, before she realized it, and then...
No, you're cutting out.
Yeah, it looks like we're losing you, James, but thank you so much for the call. How about that? Glad you're okay. Losing an ear. I wasn't expecting that.
That's not ideal.
All right, let's take one more before the break, but we're looking for your body parts that you lost at 1-800-520-106. And let's try Sam. He's line 4, Lake Elsinore.
All right.
And by the way, where are you ladies who have lost your body parts? I know you're out there.
I feel like there's fewer of them, don't you?
I do.
Because guys are more dumb.
Yes, exactly.
Sam in Lake Elsinore. Hi, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
Okay, so my story is I was working on my car. This was about 3 years ago, and I was trying to attach a bumper back onto my car. And to make a long story short, I needed a washer. I did not have a washer on me, so I started looking around my garage, and I found this strip of metal that had a pre-built hole in it, but the hole was not big enough to fit into the stud, so I decided to take my drill and try to drill out the hole, make it a little bit bigger, holding the piece of metal with my left hand. The metal spun around, got caught into the drill, took my finger into the drill.
Oh, ouch, so much.
Yeah. I yanked my hand out. Some of the fur stayed on the drill. Part of the bone was sticking out of my finger.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's
not a good time.
How much of your finger did you lose?
About half of the tip.
And was it reattached, or is it still that way today?
Oh, no, it's still that way today. It's a little bit deformed now. When the nail goes out, it kind of grows down at an angle. It kind of looks like a hook.
All right.
Nice.
You got a hook. Sam rules.
Sam, you are very popular at Halloween time, right? People want to hire you. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's still a story that gets told every now and then. So. Yeah.
Well, glad you're okay. Thank you for calling. 1-800-520-1067. That's the topic on the table. We want to talk to you. If you lost a body part, your call's next on K-Rock.
Some people might do it that way. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 738.
Talking to you, if you lost a body part, very disappointed in our listeners so far. No arms, no legs. It's been kind of weak sauce a little bit.
Well, we've had a couple of fingers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're right. It's been sort of weak sauce. All right. Yeah. An ear? We had an ear.
We did have an ear. Yeah. That was good. Let's try James in West Covina. He may improve our luck. He's on line 7, please, on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, James.
Hey, guys.
You lost a body part.
So I was BMXing with some friends and took a big tumble. And when I came up, blood was pouring everywhere. And a friend of mine found a piece of my beanbag.
Oh, no. Can they reattach the scrotum?
No, they just sewed it up and sent me on my way.
Oh, man,
you
that
lost
hurts.
Part of your scrotum.
It was not my best day.
Really?
No.
I hope not.
I'm impressed, though. Thank you, James. Appreciate the call.
He has stepped it up. That's what we were asking for.
Exactly. All right, let's try Andrew. He's in Long Beach. He's up next. He's on line 4.
All right. Hi, Andrew. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi there.
What happened? What body part did you lose?
Okay, it's a little weird. I was maybe 10, 11 years old. I was playing with a blowgun, and I just happened to knock it back into my mouth with my knee, and it took out a chunk of my hard palate.
Took out
wow,
a chunk?
So you lost part of your mouth.
So the top of your mouth?
The top of my mouth.
You shot palate. Off with a gun?
No. It was a blowgun. Like a tube that
right.
put a little pellet in and shoot out. I just knocked out a chunk of my hard palate. It came off. I almost swallowed it.
Oh,
I managed
oh,
to
man.
Push it back into place. It was bleeding for a while, you can imagine. I pushed it back into place.
Please tell me that that's all you did. You didn't go to the doctor.
I didn't.
So wait. You know what? That's good enough. It's still there.
Did it reattach?
It did, but there's a little ridge right there. I can still feel it, with my tongue on the top of my mouth.
The human body is unbelievable sometimes, isn't it? Yeah. That's amazing, Kevin. I can't believe you didn't do something like that. That's
very
Kevin-esque. Doesn't it?
I'm a very safe arsonist.
That is fantastic. Thank you for the call. All right, let's try Brenna, Los Angeles line 1, please. I'm not sure if this one counts because we didn't specify body parts on the outside of your body. She lost something on the inside. Let's find out what that's
interesting.
About.
Hi, Brenna.
Hello.
What body part did you lose?
I lost my large intestine.
Your
that
large intestine.
Sounds like something you could use, though, that you would need.
You would think, but I'm just fine.
Define fine.
How do you lose your large intestine?
When I was about 7, I had a disease that made my large intestine swollen and bloody. And so I had to get it removed.
All right. I've heard enough of this story. Good.
Okay.
I'm good.
What girls won't do to lose a few ounces, right? I guess technically I lost a kidney and a gallbladder,
yeah,
so I guess
know.
I lost a body part.
I think we're going with outer body parts, though, because they're funnier.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's try, now we're getting
coming
Let's
in,
go
right?
to Jeremy in Corona. Let's go to line 5, please.
All right. Hi, Jeremy. Hello, Jeremy.
Hi, work in a hospital, so a couple years back, we actually had a guy blow his hand off with a firecracker. For the 4th of July.
Okay, now we're talking.
Blows
now
entire, we're talking. His entire hand?
Let's put it this way. He only had his middle finger and his pinky left.
Oh, my God. Were you able to fix it?
Even him?
Well, the guy came in under his own power. He was ridiculously drunk. And, so the doc had us take some pictures and just to see the extent of the damage. And, that's all he had left of his hand.
Wow.
If you just have a middle finger and a pinky left, that's like having a claw. I mean, that is, that's something else.
That's American Horror Story. You need to be on that show.
That's right.
All right. Thanks
all right,
for the call,
let's
Jeremy.
Let's see. Did we lose? No, we still have that one. You want to go to Brawny? She's in Santa Ana online. No, that's not the one. What happened to the lawnmower? Did we lose the lawnmower?
We lost the lawnmower.
It's still line 2, I think.
Oh, it is? Okay.
I think it copied over.
Oh, you think it copied
let's
over.
Let's go to line 2 then.
Let's try Brawny. Hi.
Hi. This is Brawny. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
So when I was in high school back in Wisconsin, one of my friend's dad was working on his lawnmower, and he literally ripped his penis off. The lawnmower must have fell on him. In order to save it, they had to attach it to his arm, graft it to his arm. So he had his penis on his arm for like 2 weeks.
That is, I've heard that that they could actually do that and it actually helps. But how bizarre must it have been for him?
It was very odd.
Did he pee out of his arm?
I don't think he peed out of his arm.
It doesn't work like
that. It was
that,
just Kevin. A joke.
He's just trying to keep really blood in it.
It was just a
joke.
But hold on a sec. Bronny.
How does one lose a penis while mowing the lawn? Like, what happened?
I think he was fixing it.
Yeah,
it
there's like, a lot of that story that's not being told to you.
Yeah. Well,
I feel
you
like.
Know, I don't think the kid was too happy that his dad had a penis on his arm, so.
That is amazing.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner.
Yes, we do.
Thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
My stump, my stump, my stump, my lovely little stump. Amputee. Oh, yeah.
Time. Rock Lobster! Panic at the Disco on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It is 7:52. This is the day we've been waiting for a long time because the new Green Day album comes out.
Yay!
We're going to preview it for you next.
Yay!
Also, our friend Whitney Cummings will join us in studio in the 8 o'clock hour as well. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on?
Minute by minute by minute by minute. I keep holding on.
I'm not sure we're doing Michael McDonald again today.
I thought we were McDonalding the hits.
I don't think so. I don't right now.
Never mind. I was confused. This must be a different segment. What's this one called?
I believe it's the Showbiz Beat.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
David Letterman. You don't hear much from him anymore since he retired. But the New York Times interviewed him recently, and he had some harsh words not only for Donald Trump, but for Jimmy Fallon.
Excellent.
Jimmy Fallon, of course, is the host of The Tonight Show now. Letterman, for many years, hosted his own late-night show. And he said the way that Trump was treated on The Fallon Show was too soft. That Letterman says, I would have gone right after him, he said, if you had him on his show. Specifically, Letterman talks about, remember that reporter who was disabled, who Trump did an
Knocked
impression
us.
Of from the podium?
Right. Yep.
Yeah. I would have asked him something like, hey, nice to see you. Now let me ask you, what gives you the right to make fun of a person who's less fortunate physically than you are? Maybe that's where it would have ended, he said, because I don't know anything about politics. So, Letterman
well,
was great that way.
He was great that way.
There's a great segment if you watch Letterman talking about Trump when he was promoting his clothes. He brought him a lot and said, oh, look, this one's made in China. This one's made in Bangladesh. What's that all about? And Trump's like, well, I get people jobs in Bangladesh. It's great. I was like, all right. So
I don't think there would have been any satisfactory answers to whatever complaints David Letterman had for Donald Trump. Right. It's not like he would have said, you're right, I'm a bad
you're
guy.
Right. Yeah.
No, but you don't ignore it and pat the guy on the head and play beer pong or whatever it is that Fallon did with him.
But we don't ever, no one expects, and no one tunes in to see Jimmy Fallon ask hard-hitting questions, right? I mean, that's not what he does.
I don't
Letterman
watch.
Did a very different type of show than Jimmy Fallon does.
But it seems like if that's your guest, if that's the guy you're going to bring on, mm-hmm. then you don't do the beer pong. Or you don't bring that guy on. What's your point?
I mean, I guess my point is that that's how Letterman handled guests on his show. That's how Jimmy Kimmel handles guests on his show. But that's not how Jimmy Fallon does it. And I don't think everybody has to do it the same way.
But it's glaring if you bring a politician on, especially as polarizing as Trump is. If you bring him on a television show and then you don't deal with the elephant in the room, why are you bringing that guy on? What's the reason?
He was bringing him on to have fun. That's what he was doing.
Well,
look, it's
true.
Not how
nobody's
I
more
would,
fun than Trump. You're right.
Right.
That's when
Donald
you, that's
Trump
where you
equals
go
fun.
When you want to have fun. It's like bringing Bean on. That's why you bring Bean on. Bean would be great too in the beer pong segment. Or
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Right.
Look, Robin, I much prefer the Letterman way of handling things.
Same.
But I think it's okay that not everybody does it the same way. That's the only point I'm making.
Robin Williams' kids had a grand opening of a very cool new event that new center rather that was an event on Wednesday. It is the Robin Williams Center in New York City, and it is a 4,000 foot screening room, an educational space for aspiring performers, and will host question and answer sessions with the world's greatest actors, cast, and industry leaders for motion pictures. So this is a resource for young actors to learn more. Huh. From their contemporaries, and it is being named after Robin Williams, which I think is a very cool event. Diane Keaton, so while we're talking about famous actors, she is getting a Lifetime Achievement Award for her work from the American Film Institute. you know, when you think about it, it's pretty impressive, her her body of work, from everything from The Godfather to Annie Hall to Father of the Bride. She is the 45th such person to be honored. Joins Meryl Streep, who was honored in 2004, Tom Hanks, Mel Brooks, Steve Martin was the most recent honoree in 2014.
It's pretty good company.
Yeah. And she's a pretty good actress, too, so that's nice. And while we're talking about Trump, turns out Jack White is not a big fan of Donald
Trump.
What? Yeah. Remember his 2007 White Stripes album, Icky Thump?
Yes.
Well, Third Man Records is now selling T-shirts on their website saying, Icky Trump, right, Kevin?
You know I hate the pun.
It's Icky Trump.
I'm not a fan.
Icky Trump.
Wrong.
Icky Trump.
However, in this case, it's pretty funny.
It also has lyrics from the song on the back of the T-shirt. White Americans, what? Nothing better to do? Why don't you kick yourself out? You're an immigrant, too. Who's who? Who's using who? What should we do? You can't be a pimp and a prostitute, too. $25. So thirdmanstore.com is where you go if you want your Icky Trump T-shirt.
You saw why they why they're doing it, right, Ralph? You saw where this came from.
No,
they were staying out of the election, but Donald Trump started using Seven Nation Army at some of his rallies.
This happens every time anyone does a rally.
And that cheesed them off, and this is how they're kind of getting back at him at misappropriating, they thought, their music.
You have to put Jack White in the file, right?
I mean,
for Icky Trump, maybe so.
Yes.
I think he's got, we got to call him up and see if I'm not like positive. To take that back.
I'm not positive that he'll play along with
you.
Would you like
so?
To take that back? But.
And lastly, Hurricane Matthew, terrible storm is terrorizing the southeast portion of our country right now as it reaches land. Vanilla Ice has announced that he will not evacuate his home in Palm Beach, Florida. He said he's going to ride out the storm. They want him to evacuate, as they do everyone in that part of the world, but he refuses. And he said he'll be tweeting live as it happens at Vanilla Ice. So keep making good choices. Ricky Van Wahlberg, or whatever their freaking name is.
I think I speak for everybody when I say, okay.
All right.
That's fine.
Look, if we you lose Vanilla Ice, it's
right?
Hardly.
We're not really missing out.
No.
We're all right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Lauren Mayberry is 29 years old today. She's the singer for Churches. Tom York's 48. Tim Minchin is 41. Sean Ashmore and his brother Aaron, the acting Ashmore boys, 37 years old today. And Simon Cowell.
Zero for effort. Zero for style. Zero for star quality. And you know what? I'm being generous.
Wow. It's being nice. Wishing you a happy birthday and all. Forget it now. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Whitney Cummings joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Love it when Whitney stops by. I hope she brings her dogs with her.
Same.
Fun.
Same.
And Matt Money Smith at 9 o'clock previews the Dodgers-Nationals series that kicks off this afternoon at 2:30 p.m.
Less interesting.
Could this be the end of the Dodgers' playoff drought? You know, they're pretty good at getting into the playoffs. Not
right.
So good at getting out of the playoffs. So we'll find out how it's looking for them this year. First, though. Very exciting day. We've been looking forward to this for a long time. Ever since Bang Bang showed up from Green Day, we knew that the new album was right around the corner. And today is finally the day. Revolution Radio, Green Day's first album in 4 years, available for purchase and streaming today. Chip, you couldn't wait to wake up this morning and listen to that on your way into work, right?
Yep, right away. First thing
What
I
do
did.
You think? What's your first impression? Early impact on you?
It's great. It's entirely Green Day, and that in the best possible way.
All right. Fantastic. All right, so we've got some clips. The first one Bean already mentioned is Bang Bang.
Love that song. And I love a band that's been together for, it's got to be close to 30 years right now, and it doesn't just seem like they're going through the motions.
Yeah, true.
It seems like they're really still into what they're doing. And when you see these guys perform live, you know how great they are.
They're fantastic. The next song is Say Goodbye, again previewing Revolution Radio from Green Day. Agree with Chip. That's very Green Day-ish in the best way. The next song is called Bouncing Off the Wall.
Bounce away. Hey, it's just another day.
funny, too. One of the things that I always notice about Green Day is their melodies are so good. Like, you can really hum along or sing along. But then you start to listen to the lyrics, and it's always about something pretty deep and pretty serious. But they do that, you know, that kind of balance, which is always interesting to me.
Again, previewing Revolution Radio out today. It's Green Day. This song is called Forever Now.
I've heard that that's the Jesus of Suburbia of this record. I haven't heard the whole song yet, but I'm very intrigued by that one, Forever Now.
And finally, a clip from a song called Ordinary World.
Baby, I don't have much, but what we have is more than enough. Ordinary World.
They do that type of song so well, don't they?
What, the all-skate type of song, you mean?
Wake me up when September ends. You know, just they do those.
Time of your life?
Yes. They do those so well.
Green Day Revolution Radio, available now, as I mentioned, on all the streaming services, or you can buy it on iTunes. And don't forget, Green Day the band is going to be here at K-Rock this afternoon at 5 o'clock. It's Revolution Radio with Green Day. They are taking over the radio station. Billy Joe, Trey Cool, Mike Dirnt will all be here playing whatever they want. And I think it would be hilarious if they played an hour of Phil Collins, don't you? They get the opportunity. They just come in here, hey, just wall-to-wall Phil. But that's probably not what's going to happen.
I hope not.
So if you're a Green Day fan, don't miss it. At 5 o'clock this afternoon, Revolution Radio with the band right here on the world-famous K-Rock. Whitney Cummings, you can go, but the dog has to stay. I'm sorry.
Great.
Yes,
am I on? Are we on?
Yes. Yes, we're on. Yeah. This is it.
Okay, so many things are happening.
You're
first of all,
talking to this.
Hold on. First of all,
this is not the rehearsal.
First of all, I'm used to doing crappy podcasts, so when I come in and there's actual mics that work and with wires, I'm so thrown.
Well, this is a crappy radio station, but welcome back, Whitney Cummings. How are you?
Thank you. First things first, going to take out my Invisalign for you guys. Look
at
this. There we go. Now I don't have a lisp anymore. Hi, good morning.
Is that like a night guard? Is that what it is?
It's like a it's to straighten your teeth. See?
Oh, it's like braces.
It's like braces for narcissists.
Oh, okay. Because you don't want to have braces.
Yes, exactly.
So you can put them in and take them out whenever you want.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
They figured out how to appeal to narcissists with money.
I like it.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. So you didn't quite have your headphones on, but I was saying you can leave anytime, but the dog stays. This is the
dog
cutest
stays.
Little dog.
She's sweet. She looks
What's
like a little
story?
Cat. So I don't know what's I'm just a magnet for broken people and animals. I don't know when this started, but I was just like a week ago, I was just like driving to the gym. It was like at night. I have no life. So I was going to the gym at like 9:30 to try to, you know, cruise for dudes.
Sure.
And as I am wont to do, I'm too lazy for Tinder. I just do it in person. And so I'm driving and I'm like in my own neighborhood and there's someone in front of me, the car that stopped. And of course, because I'm just like, think I'm the only person in the world who has somewhere to be, like classic LA. I'm like honking. I'm like, excuse me,
right.
You're stopped in the street. What are you doing?
You didn't even stop for a second to go, I'm actually not in a hurry.
Not in the slightest. I had totally have that glorification of busy disease where I'm always in a rush, even on in my downtime. So I need to look at that. But so I'm driving and these people have stopped and I'm like being such a jerk. And they're like, we're trying to rescue a dog. And I'm like, well, why did you say that in the first place? And then, you know, it's like six of us trying to catch this dog, and so we all like we figure out how we're gonna do it, because if you chase a dog it just is gonna run away from you like a man. I'm learning a lot.
And excuse me, you have to, because the dog is in the street, so if the dog doesn't get caught, your fear is that somebody's gonna hit the dog.
Of course.
Gotcha.
I'm shocked that I didn't hit it, and I'm shocked she didn't get hit. Everyone in my neighborhood thinks they're so busy, so we all speed around like jerks, and then I catch the dog. Like, finally we figure out this whole plan.
You caught it, so you keep it, is that how it works?
I like literally, I'm down this alley. I catch her. She's a pit bull. She's huge. And I'm like holding her and I turn around. All of a sudden, the six people that are helping me are just like, bye, good luck with that. And they're all in their cars and I'm holding this giant pit bull. I was like, I thought we were going to split up the responsibility.
We had a plan here.
Yeah. And so then they all disappear. They're like, good luck.
She's stepping all over my computer. So if I'm tweeting weird things right now, it's because I'm being hacked.
Yes, that's right.
But Whitney, don't you already have two other pit bull dogs?
We really need to do something about this. If police came to my house, they would probably arrest me.
You're almost a hoarder at this point.
It's bad. It looks bad.
Did this dog have a collar?
No collar.
And do you think that it belonged to someone in your neighborhood?
Here's what I'm starting to think. I'm starting to think, because I have this reputation for being a dog rescue, I think I'm just stealing people. I'm kidnapping people's, like, family pets.
Like, if we were to go a couple of blocks from your house, would there be signs up with pictures?
Totally. I'm like, oh, I don't know what they're talking about. It's like that movie The Room. I just have dogs trapped in that belong to other people.
So what's your plan? Are you going to keep this dog and
own? She wasn't chipped, and she has signs of more neglect than abuse. Like, she doesn't seem like, she seems like she's been on the street for a while. So I'm trying to train her, like, you know, so then I can get her adopted. It's hard to get a pitbull adopted.
She seems super peaceful. Are you going to end up
Xanax. Yeah. Drug her. No, I'm joking. It's hard. I get so attached to them, but I don't know what to do. Does a guy want to date a girl with three pit bulls in her yard?
No.
No.
The answer to that is no. This exact thing happened to me. I already had two dogs, and I think two is the right number of dogs.
It's the right number. They can take care of each other.
Two is two. Three is ten.
Three is ten. Yeah.
That is true. And we found a dog on the freeway, you know, not in a residential neighborhood, but on the freeway, and it was just he seemed like he was about a year old. He was a half German Shepherd, half St. Bernard mix, so a big, big dog.
Jeez. Oh,
but no collar, no chip, nothing. We did everything. We put signs up at the vet.
Dog?
About a year old.
Wow.
Hold on. Let me back up. Let me stop you right there. Yeah. Did you put signs up, Whitney?
We put signs up. I'll tell you.
Bean put signs up.
And we put notices up at the vet.
Did you put notices up at the
animal shelter?
Did you put notices up at the animal shelter?
And we put an ad in the paper, by the way, to try to find this dog.
Okay. Well, you obviously have too much time on your hands, sir. First of all, I get it. You're a good person. I get it.
Well, we were trying to get this dog back to his owner.
Yeah.
But we ended up, nobody ever came forward, and the dog lived to be 15, and he's gone now, but it has never stopped plaguing me that no one came looking for this beautiful, wonderful animal.
It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. I mean, it's true, because she didn't have a chip, and she has ostensibly no training and is terrified of people, so
she's not terrified of anyone in here. She's all calm and...
Well, like me, she's attracted to very sick men. she feels comfortable here at this radio
show. Okay.
She feels comfortable in a bunch of men yelling. She was obviously in an abusive place if she feels comfortable at this radio station. So I took her to Angel City Pits, which is one of the awesome organizations I work with. That sounded like a plug. Didn't mean for it to.
That's a great organization.
And so they were like, you know, they do like tests, and they're like, it looks like she's just been on the street for a while because of her paws, and she had contusions on her legs and stuff. Mm. So it just seems like she was like... You know, but I'm starting to think, because it was so near my house, that people have caught wind that I will take any dog, and they just start dropping them off
in my
neighborhood.
It's one of those things where they say drop off a baby at a hospital.
Yeah, exactly.
They know your location.
So I don't know what to do. I know. There's just like random stray dogs everywhere because they know I'll take them. So I'm like, don't know what to do. Okay, so who does Bean's Twitter?
Bean does Bean's Twitter.
Bean.
Why? What did he tweet?
Why? What happened? What did I do bad?
It's very offensive.
It's a little Donald Trump here that you spelled your tweet about me wrong.
What did I do?
Love this woman and her dog.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. That meant to be woman. I'm sorry.
I mean, I know I have a lot of personalities, but I don't think I'm a plural woman.
No, you're not at all.
Here's what's funny about that is I misspell everything.
Yeah.
Bean is a real stickler for spelling. Like, that's very important to him. He's brokenhearted
right now.
Yeah. I am very sad. Well, I did it. I literally typed that a few minutes ago while we were on the air. Like, while I'm talking on the radio, I'm typing at the same time.
See, I can usually tell when it's a multitask tweet.
And I apologize.
That's a classic multitask mistake. Women, woman, little things like that. I can usually tell that that's just...
It was meant to be a compliment because as fond as I am of you and as a big a fan as I am of you and your comedy,
so
I just love your love of animals. That's the greatest thing in the world. And I did think about you, and I promise, kids, we're going to move on to other topics here. One more dog thing.
I love you.
I know you had to have been following that Montreal pit bull ban. Which was just great. Kevin, did you hear about this?
I did not hear about
this. The city of Montreal decided that they were going to make all pit bulls illegal, basically, and they were going to deem all pit bulls that were already in shelters as unadoptable, meaning there was going to be a mass euthanization of anything that was a pit bull breed.
That's happening.
Yeah.
That was happening recently.
Yeah, like a couple weeks ago.
And there were a bunch of people up in arms about it. And a lot of people were talking about boycotting the city for tourism, and the petitions were going on. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people.
What these people don't realize is that dog owners are so crazy. Like, they don't understand how insane we are.
Right.
Like, why are you messing with us? We have nothing to lose. We're single. We have nothing else to do. We're unemployed. Like, don't mess. Especially pit
you
bull
You should
owners.
Go there and you can take care of all the pit bulls.
Yeah.
I mean, you got three now. You
look,
might as well have
I basically have a mini Montreal in
right.
my house. But
well, the good news is the pressure seems to work because they have put a pause
it
on
work,
it.
Yeah.
Till further
pause.
Notice. They're not
See yeah. what you did?
Yes.
No, I didn't mean it as
Ugh.
A pun.
Yeah.
But people, look, let me just say this on behalf of Whitney, on behalf of everybody who knows and loves pit bulls.
Yeah.
They're great dogs. Mm. Do not be afraid of them, all right? And there are lots of different breeds that have a little bit of pit bull in them, and you can't just paint them with a broad
yeah.
brush.
I mean, it's so interesting. Like, you know, I mean, look, there is such a thing as a dangerous pit bull if they're raised to be dangerous.
Right.
Like, any behavior of their dog is a reflection of how their owner raised them. Like, you can have a vicious chihuahua or a vicious poodle if they...
Poodles bite more people than any other breed.
Absolutely true. And small dogs bite way more than big dogs. They just don't leave the same amount of damage.
So we should outlaw poodles.
Make the
Is that what we're saying?
I think we should just outlaw morons.
Yes.
Like, no one's talking about banning stupid people and insecure people who fight their dogs. What kind of sociopath needs
yeah.
to make a dog aggressive? It's
the
so
worst
sad.
People in the world.
Yeah, it's pathetic. But yeah, pit bulls are just the sweetest dogs. They're actually were raised to protect children. They call them the nanny dog. And when my dogs, if I can get my friends to bring their children over with my three
with pit bulls. Three
yeah, they're just like, I mean, they're like, look, we know pit bulls are good dogs. This is hard as a parent. Let's just see our point of view here. They have, like, my friend Dan brought his tiny toddler over. And
can we
like,
just meet in your front yard?
Yeah, he's like, just you see my point of view, right? You see how this is hard for me. If I bring my child home without a face, like, I'm in trouble.
If we only could have gotten the name nanny dog to stick instead
know,
of pit bull, it would have helped so much.
Well,
pit,
there's no such thing as a pit bull. It's actually not a real breed. It's like a mix
right?
of American Bull
up.
Terrier,
no,
Staffordshire Terrier. It's actually not even a real thing. It's just sort of a nickname for all these sort of breeds that have
big
blended.
Heads.
Exactly, big heads. But when my friend finally got him over with his kid, Abe, is like wandering around, and then my pit bull, they get really small, and they just follow them around and protect them to the point where I couldn't even reach for Abe, his kid. My girl was like, don't even. So I
not even you.
Because she realized, like, I'm the biggest danger to this child, and so she was protecting the child from
she
me.
She was right, wasn't
yes.
she? She read the room.
Yeah, totally. Like, she knew. So actually, pit bulls can protect your child from stupid humans.
See?
And that's what we actually need.
All right. Whitney Cummings is here. We got to take a quick break. By the way, she is going to be appearing at the Irvine Improv later
oh,
in the
yeah.
month, October 21st through 23rd. Five big shows. Friday,
oh, God,
Saturday,
really?
And Sunday. That sounds like too much. That sounds
that's
like an overcommitment,
too many shows.
Whitney. Tickets are available right now through her website at WhitneyCummings.com or improv.com. Again, the weekend of the 21st. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock.
I think we may have lost Whitney.
I think so.
I'm gone. Bye, guys. I'm trying to just get her socialized.
All right. Headphones on, please.
I know.
Headphones.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Am
yeah.
I happening?
Yeah, it's we're on the air. And,
oh, sorry.
So
oh, we're on.
And then people can hear this.
This is happening. Hi,
no,
everybody.
No guest has ever been more surprised that she's on the radio
where
than Whitney
did it, what is this thing?
You drove here to a radio station
Wait.
For this interview. You know that, right, Whitney?
I'm really out of it. I also did this thing yesterday. I did something called microdermabrasion, in case you guys think my face looks like twice the size it normally is.
What you
is
always
that?
Have
that sounds...
a medical procedure within 24 hours of every appearance on this show. Remember when you
that
came in with
true.
The eggs thing?
That is true.
Oh, my froze. Last time I was here, I just froze in my eggs. You're exactly
yes,
right.
That is true.
Well... in order
now it's your face. Now you're freezing your face.
Well, I'm freezing my face. In order to use those eggs at some point to get a man to want to put sperm in the eggs, I have to scrub my face off
okay.
Every week. So, yeah, so I did that, and now my face is, like, kind of swollen, and I'm just – I took a painkiller yesterday, so I'm still sort of out
you
of it. Why
are
am I telling
mess.
You this? Why do
oh,
I tell
no.
you guys this stuff?
Whitney, speaking of your honesty, your commitment to honesty,
awful.
Which your fans find so refreshing in all of your stand-up specials, you're not a person who is afraid to exploit your own weaknesses.
How dare you imply I have weaknesses?
You admit to a
you
lot of things.
How dare you? Yeah, I mean, I just don't see the point. Like, what? I mean, it's just like lying is so exhausting. You got to keep up with your lie. You got to remember what you said. It's just so dumb.
And people are people, and no one is perfect, and it's fine. That's okay.
Yeah, it's just, what's the point? I don't, it just doesn't work for me. I did a lot of lying in my 20s, and it didn't work. So I was like, let me just try the whole truth thing and see how this goes. It's much easier. It's a lot less to keep track of.
Well, I bring that up because I saw the announcement that you have a memoir coming out next year.
Oh, memoir.
A memoir.
That's how it's pronounced. Memoir.
So when you sit down and you're ready to write the book, and this is more than just making a joke on stage that is here today in Gondomar. When you sit down and this is in print forever.
Yeah, oops.
Did you have some real talk about with yourself about what you were willing to share and what you were going to hold back?
That's a great question. You're the best. You know, I think it's kind of less of a memoir. Memoir makes me feel like such a self-absorbed, like...
But it's a memoir.
Idiot. Yeah, it's more like, it's sort of like all the stories and experiences that really didn't work as a stand-up joke. Like something that maybe had too much pathos or was too serious or too sad. It was like, this would be a bummer to talk about on stage, you know, at Irvine five times in a row.
Now it'll be a bummer to read?
Now, yeah, basically. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I want to bump people out like on planes.
That's odd.
But, you know, so it's just sort of, you know, I'm able to find levity in it and stuff. But just sort of, I think as a comedian or all the people you have come in here, it's the hardest part of our job is figuring out, okay, what's a movie script? What's a stand-up joke? Mm-hmm. What's a tweet? What's a... For a book, like I'm always just trying to figure out what works the best where. So, all the things that never quite worked on stage, or I couldn't figure out how to work on stage, like stories, I'm putting into this book.
Okay, so one of the things in your book, and you talk about how you will admit to your humiliating mistakes about how you dated a gay guy.
And also, but like it's also a lot of things that like on stage, things that I want to be able to tell people, but I don't want to have to see their face look feel sorry for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'd rather just say it in a book so you can read it on your time, and I don't have to see you.
Okay.
Wince. I don't have to get feedback.
See the face of, oh, I'm
sorry
exactly, for you.
Exactly. Because things I'm too ashamed to say in person.
All right. The one that really caught my attention, and maybe it's a story you've told before, but I was unfamiliar with. Uh-oh. You came very close to spending the rest of your life in a Guatemalan prison.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
That was a surprise to me, Whitney.
Where did you find... You, like, have some crazy intel. Yes, so
he has spies that follow you around.
Thank God. Are they single?
I just put a camera on a dog and leave it in your yard.
A GoPro? I must have been like 18 or 19 or something. So 400 years ago, I met a guy on a plane, French guy, spoke no English. And I was like, yeah, we should date. He worked.
Wait, did you decide that on the plane?
I decided when I found out he had drug problems. I was like, you're a good choice.
All right, good.
And he was a Miami bartender winner. And I don't even think he was a bartender. I feel like he was like a host. He like would bring the drinks that the bartender made. I don't even, have you ever dated someone who was like a pathological liar and then you found out they were completely different?
I know people like that.
Right. Yeah. But it's so glamorized these days. Like, because I can justify dating anybody. My brain will just lean into like, I'll be like, oh, he's married. Ah, oh, not afraid of commitment. Like my brain will turn any red flag into a positive,
you know?
And it's like this guy, like he would like lie about who he was and everything. And then I was like, oh, catch me if you can. He's like the Leo DiCaprio. He's like got all these different identities. So interesting. And
so how did Guatemala play?
We went
this?
To Guatemala. I realized later, you know, when a guy pitches going to really random locations for a trip, like just there might be something else going on.
What was your first response to Guatemala?
I was like, yeah, what about just like, I don't know. Like, we're in Miami. Let's just go to the beach here.
Right.
Like, what's the bit? Let's go to Hilton Head, you know? And he's like, let's go to Guatemala. I'm like, okay, so exotic. And it's like, he's obviously doing some shady thing, you know? We go to Guatemala.
I don't see how this doesn't involve either drugs or human trafficking. I don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Involves Whitney putting drugs up her butt.
Yeah, he
did. I'm just guessing.
He didn't traffic me, which is very insulting. So essentially he was always like sweating, but I was like, we're in Guatemala. It is hot. I mean, it's hot.
You really can't turn anything around.
It's hot. Or like, he's sweating. I must just be so hot. You know, it's our sexy passion. And we're like in the airport. And he's also like really talked really fast, which was fine. I was like, he's so smart. His mind just is like incredible. Goes 100
And you think that instead of coked up?
Yeah, I just, it didn't, my brain is just like new truth. Like the denial, the amount of denial involved in my dating is just very extreme. I can turn anything. I'm like, oh, he's a pedophile. Ugh. Loves kids.
I don't feel
loves
like,
kids. I wants feel, kids. I wants a family.
I'm not sure that's a positive.
Yeah, no, my brain.
Right. And so then you get to Guatemala.
Get to Guatemala. We
Bean is trying desperately to keep Whitney on track.
You can. Good luck with that. So I, and my face is swollen, so I'm talking very slowly. Basically, I, here's the good news about me. I have an incredible amount of denial, but I'm also simultaneously incredibly paranoid, and I will go through someone's phone or wallet.
Okay. When, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's,
a,
it's it, in this case.
Okay, in this
in
case.
This case
okay, good.
I was also, whatever, 19, 20, so I didn't know. About like self-respect and like stuff like that. So I go through his wallet, and when he like went to the bathroom, and I was like, let me just go through his wallet. Why not? It's just like, I've got 30 seconds. And I found like cocaine in his, and with this was when we were in the airport. We'd already crossed the Guatemalan border, and we were in, I think, the Cabo airport.
Okay.
And I was like, this was before you could travel with drugs.
Uh-huh.
Like I recently traveled with weed, and I did fine. But yeah, so I was like, if he had been busted,
yeah,
with cocaine, don't you go to jail?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, I would think so.
Especially if there's enough to where they consider distributing.
Yeah,
that's when you're in real trouble.
Oh yeah.
I mean, not that I would know, but I'm just saying. I've heard that. I've seen that on TV.
Yeah, yeah. So I saw cocaine.
Kevin knows his limits. In other words.
Yeah, and I saw his cocaine, and I was like, not a heroin addict. This guy's awesome.
All right. There's another positive.
He
about
has cocaine.
Him.
He's rich. He's aspirational.
And
he has goals. He has goals.
How long did that relationship last?
Gets a lot done. Yeah, we did date for like 4 months
four
after
months
that. Yeah,
after
like,
that.
Like I think actually more than that.
Wow.
Yeah.
You have a long history of dating guys on drugs.
So? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Are you calling me old?
No. I'm just saying. Okay. You moved through them quickly. Don't
I
worry
did,
about that.
Yeah, I did date. I have dated quite a few drug addicts. Yeah. You look, they're go-getters. And they always have Ambien. They're just kind of, I don't have to go to Rite Aid.
That's nice.
It works out pretty well for me. They nap a lot. I can get things done.
Nap and then alternately get things done really quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
totally.
Make
yeah.
a lot of progress.
I'm doing better, I think, these days.
Sounds like it. Really does. Sounds like you get your life together, Whitney.
Yeah.
You're making a lot of good choices.
Three dogs.
Right?
Yeah, three dogs.
And whatever's
face.
Going on with your face, a lot of things happen.
But Guatemalan prison behind you.
It hurt behind me.
Right? So that's not going to happen again.
Look, I'm not in. It's more like around my nose. Have you ever gotten microdermabrasion? Anybody here?
I don't
hear
see anything swollen.
Oh, okay. Well,
just
it's. Oh,
it,
really?
Maybe. No.
Oh, now.
Maybe
I'm
it's like you go to the dentist and it feels like your face
yeah,
is huge, but it's just on the.
That's
on the inside.
What I feel like. I just have like Teletubby face right now.
Okay.
Okay. If I don't, we're good.
The memoir will be coming out next year, by the way. Whitney's going to be appearing at the Irvine Improv for 5 shows, October 21st through the 23rd. Tickets are available right now at WhitneyCummings.com or improv.com. And then you got some dates in November up in Oxnard.
Yeah, I'm
going to
do another special soon, so I'm going to sort of figure out what in the Sam heck I'm going to talk about.
Are you going to get any more TV shows up and running?
Maybe. I just made a movie. I just directed a movie, so I'm editing it now, and that is very all-consuming.
You just directed a movie?
Yes,
check
sir.
You out.
Yes, and one of my AD is a very big fan of your show. He's listening. Hi, Holden.
Well, hey, Holden.
He's obsessed with you. But so I just directed a movie, and that's like...
That's pretty cool.
It's like raising 6 children, basically, so it's like being a Mormon mom. So,
we had Kevin Pollak was in yesterday.
I love Kevin!
We do, too. We love him, too.
I love him.
He was saying that essentially the last year and a half of his life is just nothing but this one movie.
Directed it?
Yeah. It just kills your whole life because that's all you do because you have a million decisions to make and then the rest of it seems like a year in an editing room and it's just a miserable experience.
It's very – and all patience is not my like strong suit. It's not my superpower. And it's like – I mean you can spend all day just like listening to a song that's going to play for 10 seconds. Like listening – you know, cutting one frame here.
I got to tell you that – to see movies come and go in the theater, you don't realize like that took just as much work for that to be a complete failure. As the successes,
it's like a marriage. It feels like a marriage or maybe like a pregnancy or something. It's like you sign up to do it. You spend 3 years of your life like loving it and doing everything you can, and
is
then
the
it just
last
fails.
Year like okay, I'm ready to be done with it.
Everything. It's like different phases. Like I try every day to re-fall in love with it.
Uh-huh.
You know, despite how frustrating and how much it doesn't love me back sometimes.
And how close you get to it, where you kind of lose all perspective too, right?
Yeah, Yeah. I would think. Yes. Yesterday I brought in fresh eyeballs to come in. I wrote it with Neil Brennan. Have you guys had Neil in here before?
No.
Neil Brennan, comedian.
We know of him, though. Yeah.
We know of him.
Yeah.
But we haven't had him in. Yeah.
Yeah. He's awesome. You guys would, I think, like him. But so he's going to come in and watch it and give, like, it's important to just have your friends come in and give you notes. And being a comedian, I think, prepared me for that because you have to have thick skin. Your friends, people come in and they're like, I hate that scene.
That's exactly what Kevin Pollak was telling us, that you can't see it from an objective point of view anymore because you're so close to it.
Yeah. You're just like,
so
and
real
you're like,
feedback.
Yeah. And you know how much you spent on that shot and you're like, I can't cut it because I did. And then, you know, someone's like, cut that. That's stupid. And you're like, excuse me? So it's very, it's emotionally exhausting. It's destroyed my personal life.
When will we be able to see this? When will this,
like,
benefit us?
Next year-ish. Yeah. Early next year, hopefully. So yeah, then you go through I feel like, and I don't know if Kevin already said this, and maybe Kevin and I should just be writing partners, but that you movies are made three times. Once when you write it, once when you shoot it, and once when you edit it. You know, you just have to detach from what you thought it was going to be. But I got, like, I mean, the cast is awesome. Blake Griffin is in it, and he's hysterical. You know, Cecily Strong from SNL. Like, everyone's in it. It's amazing, so it's at least a joy to sit there.
I hope you'll come back and see us when
it's
getting
so is that your
out.
Way of getting rid of me? That was a
well,
good
we are
segue.
Out of time.
That was a good segue.
We are out of time.
It's a great segue.
By the way, an update from our producer, and this show shows how in touch Kevin and Bean are, is yes, we have had Neil Brennan on the show.
Oh, well, I'm glad he was that memorable.
And he was great.
And apparently we loved him.
We
Dave
loved
is
him. Big fan. That actually wasn't Kevin Pollak. That was Neil Brennan.
Could have been. buy your tickets at improv.com or WhitneyCummings.com.
Invisalign's going back in.
The Irvine Improv, sexy. Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend of October 21st. Five big shows. Don't miss Whitney. She's so, so funny.
Thank
we love
you guys for having
Thank
me,
you for coming
always.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:56.
Matt Money Smith from the Petros Money Radio Show talks Dodger playoff baseball. Coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph is here with the show. Biz Beat on a Friday. Good morning, Ralph.
Got to give my boy Matthew some major props. Big love.
Because?
To Matt Money Smith. Because, you know, he's got a show on the NFL Network where he does his fantasy football picks.
Right.
And he recently had on the Bella Twins from the WWE.
Okay.
Who are beautiful and talented. And they were, you know, divas, and they're a tag team, real sisters. And huge Philadelphia Eagles fans.
Oh, great.
So they were on there talking about Wentz Ertz this weekend and how many points that should be worth. And so Matt's like, do you want to sing the Eagles fight song?
No, dear Lord.
And they launched into Fly, Eagles, Fly.
Oh, dear Lord.
Right there on the television. And Matt joined in, and there was much rejoicing. And the girls were singing, and they were flapping their wings. And it was a glorious moment. Maybe. Some are calling it the best moment ever on television.
Who's saying that?
People
I don't think anyone has said that.
A lot of people are telling me.
The best moment.
A lot of people are saying it was the best thing on television ever. Okay? So I'm just saying. Well done, Matt Money.
So Matt just loses his mind around pretty women. That's what we're learning.
No, he's just awesome, and he makes
bad broadcasting decisions when
he
girls
loves
are around.
Me, and he sent me a little message through the girls.
And
gave me a heads up. He's like, did this for you, Ralph, and he tweeted it out to me, and I was like, oh.
He didn't actually say that, though. He just thought it.
No, he said that. I told you he tweeted that out.
He really did. Okay.
Yes.
I thought maybe you were just inferring that from watching the TV.
No, Fantasy Island boy. Some of us live in the real world and have friends and actually interact with them.
Huh.
So that's the way that rolls. Speaking of awesome things, it just keeps getting better. You know, Batman Return of the Caped Crusaders comes out this week. Batman Return of the Caped Crusaders.
Is that the new animated original Batman?
That is the new animated original Batman film.
Okay.
Starring Adam West as Batman and Burt Ward as Robin the Boy Wonder.
Interesting.
And the return of Julie Newmar as Catwoman. Made its debut at the New York Comic Con this week. Yesterday, as a matter of fact. It's in theaters everywhere on the 10th, on Monday, by the way. It's one of those one-night-only Phantom events.
Oh, is that right?
So you can check it out.
Why
in theaters.
Is it one of those one-night-only events?
Because they are finding people, the anticipation for these DC animated films especially is high, and people like the event feeling of going into a theater and seeing it. And then they buy it on Blu-ray, or they watch it on demand, or however else they All want right. to take it. But it's a fun event. And they always add something else. There's a little bonus footage, and they have a special introduction. So you can go to Fathom Events on Monday, October 10th. You can watch it in theaters if you like. But they did debut it this week at the New York Comic Con, and they announced it went so well that they already have a sequel in the works. Next year, there's going to be a second animated Batman film starring Adam West and Burt Ward, and they've announced the villain of that piece will be a villain, a Batman villain that's never been was never used on the Batman TV series in the 60s. Two-Face. Two-Face will be the Batman villain. But that really isn't the news. The news is who they have to play Two-Face in the animated film.
Is it you, Ralph?
It isn't me. It's much better than me. Here's the man himself to tell you about it.
I know you can't wait to watch me go boldly where no Batman villain has gone before. Next year, in Batman versus Two-Face, that's right, William Shatner and Adam West together again. Two old icons in one movie. Same Bat DVD, same Bat Blu-ray. Coming next year.
Come on!
How about that?
William Shatner and Adam West together.
How about that?
Oh, it's the best.
So we are going to work both of these men until they're dead, right?
I believe they have a choice in it, and they're enjoying what they're doing into their 80s.
You know what? Alchemists in the old times, what their goal was to turn lead into gold. They wanted to be able to transmute elements. They wanted to take worthless metals and make them precious metals.
Right.
These alchemists.
Uh-huh.
Bean is an alchemist, but instead he takes good things and then just turns it into crap.
Look.
That's his talent.
He doesn't think about it. He just does it. Just instantly.
I'm happy that they're doing it. I'm a huge fan
of both men. So we're just going to work them until they're dead.
Work them until they're dead, right? Because death, right?
But I am saying they're in their
80s. Right, but William Shatner is excited to do it.
Right.
Why would you infer anything else?
It's all good. It's all upside for everyone involved.
I hope they both live long enough to tape it. That's all I'm saying. Just
wrong.
Like too much. That's pretty cool. That's great casting.
Today's celebrity birthday.
Come on, Ralph. It's okay. You can still be excited.
Lauren Mayberry is 29 years old today. From the churches. By the way, I mean, demands for Bell for Lauren, by the way.
Oh, for Lauren? Okay, sure.
Falling down on the job.
Yeah,
surprise.
I'm fine with
shock,
that.
Shock. Lauren, not Lauren at all. I said her name already.
Yes.
Sean and Aaron Ashmore, the acting twins. They celebrate 37 years today. Tim Minchin is 41. Tom York is 48. And Simon Cowell turns 57 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What a great time to be a Dodgers fan, by the way. Heading into the playoffs, knowing that you have a chance to finally win another World Series after what? Since 1988 it's been since the last one? Let's find out what the chances are of that happening with our good friend Matt Money Smith, co-host of the Petros and Money radio show on AM 570. How are you, Money?
I am well. How are you?
What happens today for your little radio show when the Dodgers are playing in the afternoon West Coast time? Is there no show?
No, they move us around, so we essentially become an extended. I mean, it won't be your standard Petros and Money show fare. It'll be more of a Dodger-leaning broadcast from noon until 1:30, and then the official pregame will go 1:30 to 2:30 into first pitch.
All right, little flex time happening for you today. How are you feeling about it as a Dodgers fan, or are you still a Cubs fan right now?
No, you know, it's funny. I was, and it really has crushed my family at home. When the Kings and the Blackhawks were going head-to-head, and I said, I have to be honest with y'all, I really don't give a damn about the Blackhawks. It's Kings for me.
That's the right decision.
It is, yeah, and it's turned into that with the Dodgers. And that's really, the Cubs were the team I was the closest with. My grandmother and I used to watch games. She kind of raised me together at 220. You'd get out of school, you'd watch a Cub game. But, you know, you get with a team and you get to know some of the players. And my daughters are huge Dodger fans. My 13-year-old has a crush on Corey Seager that will never end. And I'm sure that's the case for many young girls in Southern California. So, you know, you just become a Dodger fan, and that's truly where I'm at. So, but look, if we can get a Dodger-Cubs showdown or a Dodgers-Giants showdown, as long as they can get out of this series, it doesn't matter.
All right, can they get out of this series?
Awesome. Yes, everybody we talk to says, no question, the Dodgers are the better team. And it's not because of just, you know, you lay it out on paper. It's because the Nationals are dealing with some ridiculous amounts of injury. You know, Steven Strasburg, who would have been their number one, or their number two with Max Scherzer, you know, would have been a formidable duo to try to figure out. But without him, the pitching falls off pretty fast. I mean, Tanner Roark's pretty damn good for a second starter, and Gio Gonzalez is a lefty, and that's going to be an issue. But, you know, the Dodgers are the better team because they're healthy, because they're a tough lineup to deal with, and and obviously you get Clayton Kershaw twice in a short series, and you figure, okay, this looks like the Dodgers are in good shape.
All right, let me jump in there, Money, because you said the magic words, and a lot of people believe that the postseason for the Dodgers the past few years has risen and fallen on the shoulders of Clayton Kershaw. He's one of the best pitchers that ever played baseball, but let's face it, his Octobers have been nothing to write home about. How are you evaluating him coming off of an injury starting today's game?
You know, there's two, I guess, kind of ideas behind it. One, that he has been not overused, but relied upon heavily. Every single year, you would see those splits. The Dodgers on days when Clayton Kershaw pitches, and the Dodgers record when Clayton Kershaw doesn't pitch. And when he does pitch, it's like, oh, they're 30-2. And when he doesn't, they're somewhere around 500. But he hasn't had that type of workload, that 300-inning workload this year. He's at about 140 innings. So a lot of people are saying, look, this may be the best kind of situation possible for the Dodgers and Clayton Kershaw because he's not overworked. And that arm is as fresh as ever since he returned from his back injury. His ERA is under one. I mean, it's 0.9. He's allowing less than a run per game. So that would speak to it being a great opportunity for perhaps the healthiest Kershaw's ever been in the postseason to do what he does in the regular season, and that's be the best pitcher in baseball.
You have to give the Dodgers manager all the credit in the world for, look how much people said that the Dodgers were going to suck in the second half because of all of their injuries, including Clayton Kershaw, yet they continued to find new ways to win, and new players stepped up to pick up the slack. I mean, it really has been amazing this past few months.
I don't know how Dave Roberts doesn't win Manager of the Year. When you think about losing Kershaw for that amount of time, and that's what the numbers were like. The Dodgers were under 500 when he didn't pitch, and I think they were like 12-2 when he did.
Wow.
When he got hurt. So you're six games back of the Giants. We see how good the Giants are, and somehow you flip it and have like a 15-game turnaround in your own division without Kershaw. With one, they lost, I believe. They tied a record. I think it was 29 players went to the disabled list this year. And it tied, I believe, a Red Sox team for the most ever in the history of baseball, which turns out has a very long and storied history. And they broke a record. They broke a record, which I think had stood since somewhere for about the last 10 years, of the most victories when using a starting pitcher five innings or less. Because they didn't have arms, you know, so they relied on that bullpen. And they just went out and won games with the best bullpen in baseball. And we know how important, well, we don't, but if, for people that don't know, the bullpen is probably the most important thing in baseball in the postseason because starters are typically going to perform at the level they're capable of performing of, which is really, really good if you're a playoff team. And it comes down to those last couple innings and which bullpen is better.
All right, let me ask you this. This may sound like an oddball question, but there was so much emotion wrapped up in the final few weeks of Vin Scully calling the Dodgers. Now he's gone. Does that all evaporate, or is there still a little bit of a win for Vin mentality happening with the Dodgers?
That's a good question. It is odd, but it's good. I don't know, because the players, you know, as someone who witnessed it firsthand, you know, we got our 15 minutes with him and got to wait in that Vin Scully assembly line with Dave Roberts and Bruce Bochy and Rick Honeycutt, and it was just one player after another going to see him. So you knew it was sincere. I mean, those guys aren't going to break from their routine, and you know, it's not the easiest place to get to in Dodger Stadium
right.
If you're a player, unless they really did have that reverie for him. The reverence, I should say, for him. So I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. But I think, I mean, being certainly when it's the postseason, there's very little room for focus of anything outside of the game that day. You know, every at bat matters. These games are typically close. You know, don't pay attention to the Blue Jays Rangers game yesterday.
Right,
you know,
right.
These games are usually one run affairs. So I think because of that, you have that hyper focus on the field, and pretty much any other distraction is tuned out.
I remember when we got the opportunity to interview Vin a few years ago, and look, we've got no business being in a broadcast booth with Vin Scully.
Especially me.
Neither one of us. I mean, I was as terrified of that interview, Matt, as anything we've ever done, just because you know no matter how, if you're the best you've ever been, you're still going to be weak compared to the man you're interviewing. How did you guys handle that interview? How did you feel going in there?
He is so good at putting you at ease, and he's such a wonder. You know, you hear the same things, and I'm just echoing those. You know, I remember one of the first times I ever went in the Dodgers press box, his stat guy was our stat guy for the Lakers, and I was just terrified of making that left turn instead of the right. And I saw Doug Mann, who was his stat guy, and he's like, hey, come on, meet Vin. I'm like, no, man, I really don't. And all of a sudden, I just hear this voice from the booth, ah, money, get over it and get in here. And that's just, you know, that's how he is. So as terrified as I was to do that interview, and it was heightened by the fact that Dave Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers, is coming out, and Bruce Bochy is standing like a second grader.
Right.
The manager of the, you know, wait, oh, you guys ahead of me? Yeah, we're ahead of you, Bruce. Okay, I'll wait. I mean, it's just an odd situation. Ben's the best. He puts his hand on your shoulder. How have you been? How are the girls? Oh, I can't believe you haven't been up here yet. That's how he is. He's the freaking best.
I got to tell you, people who are actually the best but make you feel like you're the only person alive, that's a talent. Yeah. That's a real talent and a real something special about a guy like that.
And you know what? He's just one of those, and we all know these personalities. He truly has a steel trap for a memory. He remembers everybody's name and every little moment, and he shares that with us during the broadcast. But it's that way off the field as well, which makes it even more remarkable. It's not just baseball players and statistics that, you know, he's put away and can access at any given moment, but it's the usher that was working, you know, 3 weeks out of the year at the press box and what his wife's name is. Like, that's just Vin, and that's what makes it so unreal to be part of.
He's 88, too. It's amazing. Right. All right, listen. So you're feeling good about this series this weekend. Before we let you go, Matt Money Smith, and look for them on the radio on AM 570, the Petras and Money Show today ahead of the Dodgers game. I have to ask, let's talk about just very briefly two teams that didn't make the playoffs in the American League. You and I have a standing bet going back 15 years now, I want to say, Matt. Is that about right?
It is 15 years. 2002 is the first year. So this is our 15th year.
All right, we have a bet every year about my Mariners, my Seattle Mariners, and Matt and his Anaheim Angels about which one is going to go further. That's the first half of the bet, which one is going to go further in the playoffs, and which one has the better record for the year. So it's a two-part bet, and it looks like this year, for the first time in 15 years, I have some money coming to me.
Oh,
although neither of us made the playoffs, the Mariners actually did have a better record than the Angels. So will I see some mail at my home here in the next few days?
You will, and I have already laid it out, and I am very excited about it because I know you've seen it in your timeline. My timeline has been littered with how are you going to pay it off?
Right.
What are you going to do?
For those of you that don't know, Bean and Money find ridiculous ways to pay off their bets.
Now, I will share, I did have an idea, and it was one that I had explored before you had moved to Louisiana, and it was to spend $50 on a clown to come to your house and entertain you.
You can still do that.
That was going to be my plan, and I had it all laid out. But then when you moved, I was like, you know, New Orleans is kind of a weird city.
Come on, buddy.
I wanted it, right? I mean, so that's. I think I may take it easy this year.
$50 worth of clown entertainment was
going to come on. You right. need to stick with that. That's the best plan ever.
Just to kind of give you an idea of where my head's at.
I'm terrified.
And then the other thing was going to be $50 worth of mail order uncured bacon. And my wife said, that's just mean. She's like, that's just what's wrong with you.
See, because Bean doesn't eat pork.
Doesn't eat any pigs.
Right, exactly. All right. So, well, I'll just wait by the mailbox to be surprised, I guess. But I'll look forward to that. And we will look forward to you guys on the radio today. And go Dodgers, right, Matt?
Exactly. Let's go Dodgers.
Thanks for coming on.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10.
Before we sing that song that ushers in another weekend, it's time for a final look at the showbiz beat for Friday. Here's Ralph Garman.
Yep, it's up to me again. I got to bring this show in like Sully. I got to bring it in, land it on the water, just make sure everybody walks away.
You don't think you can make it back to the airport?
Nope.
That's a shame.
Not with the damage this vessel has taken. Not with the two main engines being as crappy as they are. That's for sure. They're out. We have two main engines that are out. So it's up to me just to
do everything you can to steer.
Just to bring it in, just land it on its belly, and just make sure everybody walks away. It's not going to be pretty, but we'll get there, people. Just hold on. Kim Kardashian, of course.
Guilty.
She hasn't been charged with anything, actually. Being she was the victim of a crime in Paris, France, where she was bound, gagged, and robbed for what is estimated to be over $10 million in jewels. Is so deeply rattled that E! Network has announced they are
shutting down production on Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Kim's well-being is our core focus right now, says E, for the first time ever. No decision has been made as to when production will resume. Well, I guarantee you it will. In case you were wondering, the network spokesperson was also asked if cameras were rolling when the robbery took place, but he declined to comment.
Really?
Which creeps me out to no end.
Yeah, we heard she was alone.
Is she ever alone?
Well, it's a good question.
Don't they have a GoPro surgically implanted in her belly button?
I'm not positive
I'm not
about
mistaken.
That.
Anyway, look. Look.
Look.
There's no way. They may shut it down for a while and then let her settle down. I'm sure she's very rattled. But when they go back into production, you can get a
full recreation.
A big heaping spoonful of this, I guarantee you.
Oh, she'll
you.
Figure out a way to exploit this. There's
yeah,
no question.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure there'll be some high-profile primetime interview about it. But I think you guys do still feel terrible for
well,
her.
Of course,
I mean,
you don't want
a horrible thing for anyone to go through.
Yeah,
and
that's terrible.
I think that would be upsetting for the rest of your life. You'd have trouble getting over that and feeling safe again.
Absolutely. But it doesn't negate the fact that they will find some way.
Both are true.
To monetize
and
or capitalize
Absolutely.
On this with the publicity
It was horrific.
Machine. Yes, but she will still
yes.
exploit it.
Both.
Right. Norman Reedus from Walking Dead. Great
Daryl.
Actor. Great actor, right?
Love him.
Needs a haircut, yeah.
Ugh. What's wrong with you?
There's,
he's, a,
there's
he's a mess.
Zombies.
There's zombies everywhere.
Around every corner trying to kill them.
He's got time for a haircut.
Think he's worried about his sartorial splendor?
I just feel like somebody with a pair of scissors could do that boy a favor. That's all.
Well, I'd like to get a pair of scissors and do you
what
a favor.
What's wrong with you? And Carl, too, while we're at it.
He is also a killer bass player. Do you know that? Hey,
no.
Jeff, do you know he's a bass player?
No.
Thought all your bass players knew that about each other.
Hmm.
He sat in with Anthrax on Wednesday.
That was pretty cool.
At the Tabernacle in Atlanta, where they film, of course, Walking Dead. Norman played along with the band's bass god, Frank Bello, on their song Indians, and by all accounts, just shredded. There must be some sort of friendship there, because guitarist from Anthrax, Scott Ian, also played a walker on season 5 of that show.
Is that
so
right?
They must have some sort of friendship going on there. It's pretty cool. And despite all of the high-profile yelling and screaming and coverage on media and television, celebrities out there stumping at every opportunity to try to get people to go out there and vote. Do you believe there's still people who said they just decided they're not going to vote this year?
Are there?
The last election, I believe, was 50% of the electorate, I think, turned out to vote. They're expecting roughly the same this year. I mean, 50% of citizens who can vote for the president will choose not to.
But we always hear that every election is the most important election of our lifetime.
Yeah. Well, Lewis Black, who's just...
The best?
The best. He was on The Daily Show last night with Trevor Noah, and they do Back in Black. They bring Lou out, and he was talking about people deciding not to vote, especially millennials. Seem to be a large portion of millennials decide just to sit this one out. They talked about because it seems difficult voting.
Really?
To which Lou responded, "You mean I have to go someplace and pull a lever?" And also because it just seems like they're not interested.
Okay.
Here's what Lou had to say.
Oh, no, I'm not voting at all. I don't like either of them.
Will you be voting?
No. I am not voting.
I don't think anybody's qualified.
No one is qualified. Since when does that matter? Listen, jerk, this isn't like deciding not to go to the movies because they all suck. Fact is, we're going to have to see a movie whether we like it or not. And that movie's going to be 4 years long. And you better hope it's not the one that ends with Trump nuking Wisconsin.
Yeah, you want that movie. So hunt that down if you haven't seen that piece of video and watch Lewis Black at his top of his game talking about why people aren't voting.
Can I throw this out, though, while
he
we're
said
talking
if
about
if you don't vote, he's going to find each and every one of us and hunt them down. So.
Let me throw this out there, though, Ralph. And
throw
tell
it
me
out.
If you think
Go
this
ahead.
Is legitimate.
Throw
it. There's no excuse, to not vote. I think everyone should vote that can. But if you live in a state like California that 100% of elections goes Democratic at the top of the ticket, can you understand people going, even if they're Donald Trump supporters, my vote doesn't count because we have an electoral college where all of the electoral votes go to the party that wins? your vote really doesn't count in California if you vote for Donald Trump.
And that's the important message. Right?
Your vote doesn't count. That's right.
I'm just saying I see the frustration for a lot of people who think my vote doesn't count based on the state that they live in, and especially in the state of California.
Let me tell you a story.
Please do.
About an election that was held for president that basically ended in a tie, where even the popular vote was within just a few hundred thousand of each other, went back and forth. It matters. It matters.
And but the popular vote doesn't matter, though, is the point. It didn't matter. When Al Gore won the popular vote by 500,000 votes, it didn't matter at all. Only the Electoral College matters. And if you live in a state that, like I live in Louisiana, Louisiana's going for Donald Trump. Doesn't matter what if I cast my vote for Hillary Clinton, my state's going for Donald Trump.
What about your own personal feelings about yourself and what you do?
That's a whole different story.
But if we're talking about voting and the personal satisfaction you take from participating in the electoral process.
Or not participating.
Right.
Because you're a communist.
What about that? All other factors being aside, what do you do? How about you? What do you feel about yourself?
Look, I'm a proponent of voting. I think people should
vote. I can tell by your telling people
I'm
not
the people should vote, but I'm not saying we don't have problems with the system we have either.
You got some problems, that's for sure.
And I also just want to add as a PS that there's more to vote for than just the president. There are a lot of other elections that are important that will impact your life, too. So it's important to vote because of the rest of the ticket.
Even more so. I think voting locally has a huge effect on what happens in the world.
That's real talk right there, man.
We want a senator who dabs, for instance. That's within our grasp.
Don't vote for Dabby. Don't vote for Dabby. But there are a lot of issues and a lot of... We should probably do something about this in the next 40 days or something. We should probably talk to someone about all the propositions and the things that's going to affect the cost of prescription medication. I mean, there's a ton of stuff that's going to be on the ballot in November that will
I heard
you.
A guy on the radio say that we shouldn't vote.
I don't know what to do about that. It doesn't. Your vote is meaningless.
Especially if you live in California. I heard a guy on the radio say that.
Bean is finally starting the vote is meaningless campaign, which you don't see a lot of celebrities stand up for and take that position.
Am I wrong on that count?
You're wrong on every count. Okay. Please, just play that song and get me out of here. Please.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Right. Don't Bogart.
Okay. Seriously? All right.
Don't Bogart the George Bush.
Kevin, you got to stop that and do the Honda thing first, though. You got to stop the song and do the Honda thing. You got to do the Honda thing real quick.
The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness, and we all win with a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour here on the World Famous K-Rock.
Or the Green Day Revolution Radio Takeover.
Green Day Revolution Radio Takeover today. 5.
Don't Bogart that joint. My friend,
pass it over to me.
Show hands. Who else has an erection?
Don't bogart the joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Well, that was disturbing.
Roll another one.
Is that where we're at?
Just like the other one.
Roasted.
This one seems to be a
station. I just don't even understand why they think that's okay.
Roll another one.
I like ball play.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to end.
I love the poorly educated.
So bad for our country, you have no idea, folks. You have no idea.
See, what is it with you and having opinions?
Just pass it around.
If you need a drummer on your new album, I could do that.
Fire beer mug.
Well, this has been sufficiently awkward, and I will see you guys tomorrow.
Well, all right, fine. You're not going to give me one more hug?
I got to go.
Okay, then. Thanks for coming by. I really enjoyed this chat. Don't be strangers. Reception will validate.
America has taken so much. No more. A revolution will rise from within. Blood will spill.
Well, I didn't say all that.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
So this is Vin Scully wishing you a very pleasant good afternoon wherever you may be.